about.
You know, these sure aren't deflating. These are only inflating. So get ready, because I'm going to be ready. And there's only one thing you can deflate. These nuts!
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
B.I.G.
Just because someone has two lumps on their chest, it does not mean that they are obligated to show you them online.
I love areola.
Girls going crazy. Yes, I said it.
I love women, and I am a love machine, to be honest with you.
You are laying out a beaver trap, and I'm not going to walk into your beaver trap.
Can't tell me nothing.
And now,
close only counts in horse grenades.
What?
It's a saying, because if you're playing horseshoes and then you throw a grenade at a horse, it doesn't have to be that close, and you can still blow the horse's legs off. It's from the movie Seabiscuit.
Our feature presentation.
The movie Seabiscuit.
Right?
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Tuesday, the 19th of May.
So,
what's everybody up to?
Just thinking about Seabiscuit.
Yeah. It was a shame the way Seabiscuit died like that with that that horse grenade, too.
Horrifying.
You know, such a great racehorse to be killed in a tragic accident.
Yeah.
You know?
Very rare.
But I didn't remember that until I just heard it right there in the news report.
Yeah.
Anyone do anything fun last night? Anyone do anything fun yesterday?
I caught up on Mad Men.
You mean you watched the one episode?
Yeah.
Is that what you meant? That caught up?
It caught up, really. It didn't work there. No, I watched the finale.
That's quite a marathon.
Oof,
Did you pace yourself? You spread that out over the whole day, or you watch it all at once?
I drank a lot of water.
Yeah. And,
you took some cry breaks?
Oh, I did. A couple, actually.
Went outside, ran around the block.
Yeah.
Did whatever you could. What did you think 24 hours after everyone else had this conversation? What did you think?
I thought it was beautiful. I thought it was perfect, and I thought it was the best ending they could have done. For me, they wrapped up everyone's storyline, and I thought it was beautiful.
That seems super difficult as a series to go,
okay,
we need to now pay it off in this episode.
Especially since, and one of the things, Kevin, as you know, being a hardcore Mad Men fan since episode one, one of the things is this is not – they're not trying to defuse a bomb, or they're not trying to find a missing person. It's not a procedural. So it's just character studies. So it's even harder, I think, because it's not like you tuned in the last episode to find out who did it. You know, you're just seeing what happens to people's lives. And I thought it was brilliant as well. I really did. I was thinking about it a lot yesterday. I'm going to miss that show, man.
I already do.
I'm really, really going to miss it. So, anyway, on to the next one. I mean, at least we still got Dancing with the Stars. I mean, that's my substitute. So.
I watched that for, I don't know, maybe 2 minutes last night.
Huh.
Mm-hmm. And just because it was on when I turned on the TV, and I just thought, you know what? I'm making the right decision on this. Yeah.
For us.
Not for me.
No, definitely not.
Obviously, it's for a lot of people, but it's certainly not for me.
Yeah.
I didn't even get it.
I know. It's been on forever, and it's immensely popular as well. All right. Well, we got a lot of program for you today. Actually, a ton
of things, a large number of things coming up on today's Kevin and Bean Show.
Hmm. What happened?
There is a God. That's pretty sweet.
Just mid-sentence. He's gone.
Yeah.
That
was nice. Should I tell you about today's show?
While we wait?
Tom Cavanaugh is going to be on the program today.
Hey, you guys there?
Ah!
Oh, hey.
What happened?
I don't know.
Was it a beer mug issue?
That's our default position, so yes.
I was just talking.
Yeah. Maybe the equipment just said no. No, bad man.
I was just trying to have a conversation with my peeps, and all of a sudden it was just gone.
Do you know what happened, Chip?
I just had to redial him, and it came back.
All right, good.
All right, so you don't want to hear my BS today? We already moved on.
And I was just starting starting to talk about the show, so go ahead.
All right, let's see if the equipment gods shoot me down one more time, because maybe they're really not interested. I don't know. You guys ever been to Yellowstone National Park?
As a child, yeah.
As a child, too, yeah.
It's a fantastic place. One of our greatest American treasures, one of the best national parks. So much cool stuff goes on there. The park has tried to kill...
How much cool stuff goes on there? Isn't it just a geyser? Old Faithful for starters.
Okay, but that's
lots
it, right?
They have lots of beautiful.
So that's one. Old Faithful is one of the list.
It's got some of those gorgeous vistas in America. I mean, there's so many beautiful things to see, and
So would you count that as going on there?
And they have buffalo. They have buffalo. You got that buffalo going on.
You can say buffalo more, but it's still
the buffalo.
Not a thing.
It's just buffalo.
No one wants to be on the air, do they?
Right.
Have I been dropped again? Am I back?
No, I wish.
So, two things. All right, I'll do it real quick now. One is a 16-year-old Taiwanese girl visiting was posing for a photo. She saw buffalo, in fact, Allie. Mm. How dare you? And she decided that she was going to walk up next to this buffalo and turn around with her back to this buffalo to get a picture taken.
Selfie, buffalo, selfie.
Yes, exactly. And I think that people...
Don't move.
People assume that since buffalo are roaming wild in the park that they're just like cats and you can just go up and pet and play with them. Well, that's not the case. She turned her back to the buffalo and then he rammed her, gored her, put his horn through her back.
Oh.
Which I don't think is what she was expecting.
I doubt it.
Oh. Park rangers rushed to the scene. They took her to the Old Faithful Clinic at the park. Then she was airlifted out by helicopter for further treatment. Every year, apparently, visitors at Yellowstone are gored by buffalo, sometimes fatally, according to the Park Service. So the visitors need to be reminded that wildlife is wild. So that's thing one. That's not what she was expecting. And thing two is, here's a guy who was standing by one of the Yellowstone National Park signs and decided to take a photo of him standing up against the side of a cliff. When he fell backwards while taking the picture, he 71 years old. He could have fallen 200 feet to his death, but somehow managed to jam his feet between some rocks on the way down and only fell about 25 feet.
Wow.
71 years old.
That guy's way more vibrant and safe than you.
Pretty quick reflexes, I think, to stop himself from falling down that mountain. I mean, that's almost certainly death if he went all the way to the ground, right?
Yeah.
Park rangers threw the man a rope they secured to a tree and a sign. Then a park rescue team came in and pulled the man back to the rim using ropes and pulleys. He was incredibly lucky that he was able to stop in a crevice because there was a 200-foot drop beneath him. So 71 years old, he saved his life. 16-year-old girl gored by a bison, she's alive as well. So Yellowstone is doing its best to kill Americans, but so far, 0 for 2.
So don't go to Yellowstone.
No, go to Yellowstone. Oh, just don't do dumb things. Just don't fall off cliffs and get gored by wildlife.
So are there a lot of things going on there or not?
Yes.
What are we coming down on that one?
Darwinism is going on there, apparently.
Based on what you just heard, there's more going on than you thought, right? It's a life and death situation.
Sure. Let's talk about this morning's Kevin Abicho, shall we?
I'm really not in the mood for one of your soliloquies.
Tom Cavanaugh from The Flash. Just mentioned a little bit ago. Dr. Wells, so good. That show's wrapping up.
So good.
So fantastic this season has been. Bean hates Chip. We're going to talk about that.
I don't hate Chip at all.
It's sad Chip how much you hate her.
That's not true
it's
at all.
Horrible.
I love Chip.
It's very sad the things he's doing to Chip. And it hurts. I'm just going to say it hurts. Carson Daly's on the program today talking about the Voice finale. We have Alan Coulter, who is the Late Show with David Letterman announcer.
I love Alan Coulter, by the way.
There's tonight and there's tomorrow night.
Mm. That's it.
And that's it for David Letterman.
And they're not giving us any details about tomorrow night, by the way. No announced guests. We have no idea what's going to happen in that hour. I doubt Alan will tell us anything, but I can't wait to see what they do. Bill Murray and Bob Dylan tonight, by the way.
Just those two guys?
Awesome.
Yeah.
Only that?
Yep.
Also on the program today, we have Dana White talking UFC.
Fantastic.
In the studio, we have Bachelorette Report. I guess it was on for like 6 hours last night.
It is time. It's back.
So P and Ralph will be here. And you two at the Roxy. We've got tickets. We're giving them away every day from 9 to 9 on the station. But then we have tickets during our show, a separate pair of tickets during our show every day. So it'll be at a different time. This morning it will be at 7:05.
Excellent.
Give you a chance to win those tickets. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:53. That means it's Ralph Garman go time. Good morning, Ralph.
Good morning, boys and girls. So an interesting fact this morning, as I was doing a little research for the Showbiz Beat. You know, it was 10 years ago today that Revenge of the Sith was released. Star Wars number 3.
Hmm.
So that's the last time we saw a Star Wars film was 10 years ago. You know, the original film seemed like they were released a long time
ago.
They
were 50 years ago.
But Revenge of the Sith doesn't seem like 10 years ago. A decade ago that show came out. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
We really do need a Star Wars film.
We do.
Good work, J.J. Abrams. We didn't know how badly we needed your film until we looked at the paper today. A lot of people, Sunday night, were asking themselves, Who's that Iggy Azalea impersonator up on stage accepting all of Iggy Azalea's awards? I don't know if you saw it or not, but apparently Iggy has had some serious face work done.
Oh, I did not know that.
Oh, yeah, you got to check out the side-by-side comparison photos.
Well, Rob, you have to when you get to be her age. You know what I mean? You got to get a little work to just to maintain when you
well,
get to be
what? Well, it's not trying to maintain her youth. It's major transformation. I mean, I always thought she was a beautiful girl, regardless of what I may have thought about her legitimacy as a rapper or her talent. I always thought she was really pretty, and now she has had a chin implant, which is weird. Gives her like a pointy chin now, and a nose job. When I always thought her nose looked great, now it's sort of this minor reduced form of putty in the middle of her face.
That's weird.
It is weird, and she looks weird, and it's odd.
A chin implant.
Chin implant, nose reduction.
Okay.
So there you have it, but do yourself a favor and check it out, because she's on the road to crazy town.
Now, the goal for plastic surgery is to look better, though, right?
I would think.
Yeah.
That would be my first, on the list of things I hope to achieve from plastic surgery.
Right.
Look better would be number one.
Maybe not this time.
Not in this particular case. Unless that's what she's going for. That's the look she wants. Good on you, mate, as they say in the ghetto where you were raised. Talk about crazy. See Jaden Smith's prom pictures?
Oh, so sweet.
Yeah.
This is good.
Yeah.
As a Batman fan and author yourself, you must have been thrilled.
What Kevin is referring to is in Jaden Smith's photos at his prom. You can see him in his all-white tuxedo. But if you look closely, you're like, hey, wait a minute. What's that out from the under of his coat jacket there? There's something coming out from underneath. Oh, is that a cape? Yeah. It's a giant white cape. Mm-hmm. You know why? Because he had a giant white Batman costume on under his tuxedo, which he proceeded to remove and then just pray around in his white Batman costume body armor.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Imagine he goes to a regular high school. Is that this a prom photo for his high school that he goes to?
It's not a regular high school, but it is a high school.
Yeah. Imagine how insufferable Jaden Smith would be in high school.
He goes to a high-end, private, pricey high school, but... Yeah, you can't imagine. You see him, he's driving up in like a convertible Bentley or something with his date, and he's got his Batman cape flowing out from under his white tuxedo.
But even if all the kids have money and they're all showing up in cars like that, when you step out in a white Batman tuxedo cape, that's just, Bean's right, that's insufferable.
Well,
what a...
Not to mention, like, the lamest thing you can do. Even if you're Will Smith's kid, they have to point at you and laugh, right?
Yeah.
Have to, yeah.
They should give you a Batman wedgie. They should put your cape up right between your nutsack and your taint. It's right there at the corner of nutsack and taint. That's where my old apartment building used to be.
That's a terrible location.
It's a bad neighborhood.
If anyone's playing Kevin and Bean Bingo this morning and they're waiting for the taint card, there it was.
And Bradley Cooper, he's dreamy, right? Is he dreamy?
Sure. He
Ladies,
sure is.
Ladies, you with me?
Really?
What?
Mm, yeah. For Bradley
doesn't
Cooper?
Do it for you?
No.
What?
Huh.
I've never heard anyone go, no, about him.
He just doesn't.
Okay. Allie McKay's a woman of unique tastes.
Thank you for noticing. Yeah. Thank you.
She's more a Wilford Brimley gal.
Oh, that mustache.
Does it for her.
Ugh.
What's your problem with him? Is he too pretty?
Yeah, I don't like the pretty guys.
Is that rugged enough for you?
No, he was very rugged. Last movie, he was attractive to me.
Okay. Because
he was very manly.
Because he was murdering people.
And he had a gun.
You
liked
him murdering?
Yeah, I was into that. I'm into the murder.
Well, if he's too attractive for you, you may be in luck, because apparently the work of doing the role of John Merrick, the Elephant Man, in the Broadway show The Elephant Man, is beginning to damage his body.
How?
Well, I've heard of this before. I remember David Bowie, when he played this role on Broadway, also complained of similar problems, because the role is done without any sort of makeup or special effects. You have to contort your body as you do the performance in order to give the, at least theatrical appearance of the disformed body of John Merrick. Are you familiar with the story of John Merrick, Kevin the Elephant Man?
Yeah, you know.
He had a disease which created large growths of tumors on his face and caused his body to be twisted, and he ended up becoming sort of a freak show attraction for high society, where they would dress him up and trot him out. And his doctor actually taught him to be well-mannered and things like that. That's the story of this guy. But because they don't use prosthetics or anything, you have to actually twist and contort your body in order to give the illusion of what's going on. And so he says having to twist his body and hold it for 2 hours is causing him back problems with his spine. Excuse me. And because he twists his features, one side of his face is getting bigger than the other.
One side of his face is getting bigger than the other.
Yes.
That's weird.
Because of the muscles that he is training on that side of his face, he's starting to get larger on one side of his face. This side is bigger, he said.
Think about it. He's doing it 16 hours a week, probably, right?
Yeah, for 2 hours straight.
Would you say
so he's going to get good and ugly soon, so Allie will like him soon. He'll be all twisted and gnarly and have the side of his face puffed out.
And that'll make her happy?
Yes. That'll be interesting.
Would you say he's having problems with his body?
I woke up in a new Bugatti.
Oh, what the hell?
I woke up in a new Bugatti.
What?
He's having problems with his body. He's having problems with his body.
Wordplay from Kevin Ryder.
Kevin doing a Bugatti. He's the one who's trying to shut that down.
Wow. Well,
Chip.
It lives on, honesty. Thanks to you, Kevin.
In all honesty.
Nope, it's living on next to you. I'd kind of let it go, but today I'm going to bring it back strong.
No. Don't,
because
no.
You have
that was a one-off.
You have reinvigorated my passion and my love for that. And every showbiz beat, it's going to have a big, juicy Bugatti.
That hasn't happened.
Thanks to you, Kevin. Thank you so much for bringing it back to life.
Stupid Chip. I hate Chip.
You're like
now.
The Dr. Frankenstein of wordplay. Today's celebrity birthday is actor Peter Mayhew. You may know him best as a little gentleman named Chewbacca.
We might know him best by that, or that's just one of the many things we would...
Of all the other roles he's played, I think his role as Chewbacca probably is his most famous. He's 71 years old. Who guitarist Pete Townsend celebrates his 70th birthday?
He's the guitarist for who?
UFC fighter George St. Pierre is 34, and singer Sam Smith is mute. He's also 23 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Ex-ambassadors on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 25 minutes after 6.
I like those guys. Got a chance to hang out with them a little bit at the Weenie Roast, didn't we?
Yep.
Nice dudes. And their album's coming out in June. We're going to try to get them in here so we can spend a little bit more time with them. Carson Daly joins us talking about the finale of Season 8 of The Voice coming up in just a few minutes here on K-Rock. First, though, it's so weird to me still that Bill Cosby... Look, I know he hasn't been charged with anything and nothing has been proved, but we all pretty much assume that all those women aren't lying. Bill Cosby is walking around being a serial rapist and no one can do anything about it.
Allegedly.
Right. Allegedly. Doesn't that just rub you the wrongest of all possible ways to know that there's a guy out there that we know did it, allegedly, and no one can touch him? He's beyond the reach of the law,
but I don't know
because
if you saw, I don't know
statute of limitations.
I don't know if you saw Nightline on, was it Friday night?
I did not.
He really explained things.
Oh, did he?
Yes.
Oh, you mean he has an explanation as to the misunderstanding?
Uh-huh.
How will you answer them if they are pressing you? Are you guilty? Did you do it? Are the allegations true?
I think that many of them say, well, you're a hypocrite. You say one thing, you say the other. My point is, okay, listen to me carefully. I'm telling you where the road is out. I'm telling you where, as you're driving, you're going to go into water. Now, you want to go here, or you want to be concerned about who's giving you the message?
So I think that pretty much
what
summarizes.
You edited that.
I didn't edit that. That's what he said.
But those are just words put
what
together.
What does us driving with the road being out have anything to do with women accusing him of spiking their drinks?
Let's ask him. Should we ask Bill?
Whoa.
Do we have Dr. Cosby on the phone?
Bill Cosby?
Hey. Kevin and Bean, how are you doing this morning?
Well, we're confused, frankly. Well, if you don't mind, sir, would you mind expanding on your analogy about the road and the messenger?
Not at all.
Okay, thank you.
You see, if you come to me and ask the question, what is going on with the things with the women?
Uh-huh, right.
I would tell you that if you're in a camper van...
Camper van?
And you go by the hillside, do you want the cliff? Or do you want to take the freeway to the rest stop?
Okay, but what does the freeway or the cliff have to do with the allegations against you?
Well, I played Cliff on the television.
Right.
Okay.
And the rest stop is where you go pee pee and poo poo.
Okay.
Right. But again.
Right.
Right. Okay. How about the next clip? The next clip is, are you afraid that the allegations will, you know, override your message?
This is a situation that's unprecedented. My family, my friends, I have been in this business 52 years, and I've never seen anything like this. And reality is the situation. And I can't speak.
Now, Bill.
Yes.
Bill.
I could not have put it more succinctly than that.
What did all those words mean?
Reality is the situation.
Right.
Okay.
Fantasy is the J-Wow.
What? Oh.
These are just Jersey Shore people.
Yes. Yeah.
But what does that have to do with you allegedly spiking drinks and raping over 40 women?
Ah, yes. Well, I've been in this business for 52 years.
Right.
Right. You mentioned that.
Right. I got confused because I've been in the rape business for 42 years.
Oh, man.
Allegedly, though,
allegedly,
right?
Allegedly, of course.
Yeah.
And I found that if you take the road down by the place where the horses run free,
what?
Then you can lead them to water.
Okay.
And sometimes rape them.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
But
by horses, I mean women.
But you...
It just and by doesn't... allegedly, I mean I did it.
But you say you've never seen anything like it. Maybe
no.
It's... But maybe that's because there's never been anybody who has committed as many felonies against more people as you allegedly have.
But here's the thing. If you have to wear a diaper...
Right.
And only the sunshine through the window can change the appearance of the cat box.
Now you're making sense.
Thank you. Finally.
I don't understand. All right. Future plans. What are your future plans?
I have a ton of ideas to put on television about people and their love for each other.
Yes.
Okay.
I am all about loving people, whether they want it or not.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. So I have lots of ideas for TV shows.
Right.
Uh-huh. And all of these TV shows involve young actresses coming to your hotel room for quote-unquote advice?
Yes, as a matter of fact.
Mm.
I have got loads of ideas and even more pills.
Allegedly.
Sure.
He is the current morning host on 97.1 Amp Radio here in Los Angeles, former K-Rock DJ, by the way, and the host of The Voice on NBC, bringing Season 8 in for landing tonight starting at 8 o'clock. Ladies and gentlemen, our friend Carson Daly joins us.
Oh, that's nice. Thank you. Guys, I got to make this quick. I got Bill Cosby calling in on my show.
Well, he's making the rounds this morning. Good luck with that.
Clear things up.
So, Carson, here we are at the end of Season 8 already. How's the season been for you, sir?
It's all a blur, Bean. It's
really?
All a blur. It's on so much. It's 800 hours of primetime programming on NBC, the show.
A week.
They're really asking a lot of me.
Well, you're not busy. You don't have other shows.
No. No. I haven't seen my children in 2 years. How are they, Bean?
I hear they're good.
Okay.
So when you're doing a lot of The Voice, you have to be out in Los Angeles, and your family all lives in New York now, right?
That's right.
Are you guys Skyping it up? Is that how that works?
I've been trying to figure this out. I moved to New York for the Today Show job. But now we're on live. It basically works out where 16 weeks a year I commute, which is a really dumb thing.
Commute for 16 weeks.
When we go live in the fall and the spring, I fly out like Sunday and go back on
Wednesday. But
it's Wednesday.
Only 3,000 miles each way, Carson.
It's really not that big of a deal. When I walk through an air, it's unbelievable how much time I spend in LAX. I mean, it's really crazy. I got on a plane the other day. I didn't even have a boarding pass.
What?
The people at the
they
airline.
Just know
like,
you? Hey,
yeah, they're
on.
Like, oh, it's Carson. Hey, come on in.
Now Carson.
I'm like, I don't have the boarding pass. That's all right. We see
I don't want to. I mean, at least they know it's you. They recognize you. It's not like you're trying to pretend. But here's a question I have for you, not to get too deep into the radio weeds here. But
sure.
Big Boy's got himself a private jet now. Where's Carson Daly's private jet?
I read that. I'm not sure I believe that, actually. Do we all believe that?
I do.
I believe it.
I don't know.
He has access to the jet or whatever?
Yes.
I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, I wonder how that works out, too. It's like, hey, I'd like the... No, not today.
Right, right.
Maybe next week.
Do you guys have a jet?
Yeah. Yeah, we each have one.
Hell no. Hey, Carson, let's talk about the show real quick.
Yeah.
What do you think of this group of talent that's left at the end of four final contestants?
I think it's been one of the more talented seasons we have. I really do. I like the diversity that we have, you know, going into the finals tonight. You got this kid, Sawyer Fredericks, who's from a farm, who's, you know, 16, but he sings like a 50-year-old. I mean,
get a goddamn haircut.
He's gonna...
he is darling, Bean. You leave him alone.
Thank
Seriously,
you,
he looks like one of the Olsen twins.
Oh, how
well,
dare you.
He does a little bit.
he definitely is incredibly mature and sophisticated for his age, though. That's for sure.
Well, when we got him, he wasn't so much. He was like a rescue. But he's blossomed, really. And, I mean, the fact that Ray LaMontagne, who he just, you know, worships and idolizes, and who doesn't really, you know, mm-hmm. gave him this song that he sang last night, and it's like number two on iTunes today. So
that was a good song.
But, you know, I mean, Pharrell's got also Kryn Hawthorne, who's another, you know, teenager who sings like, you know, Mary J. Blige. And so
now, let me stop you right there and ask you about Kryn. She's the one who – she's in high school, right? She's a junior high school working at a pizza parlor.
That's correct. That's
correct. And your show comes along, and now she's on the verge, maybe after tonight, of having a record contract. Do these kids have trouble adjusting to how fast things happen on The Voice?
They don't seem to. I'm amazed at how well-adjusted they all seem to be.
You get them just before they go off the deep end, though. That's
I think
why.
So. You know, the real world on MTV, I think, screwed up a lot of people. But I think we do just north of that. No one screws up. I'm amazed. All these people are singing and performing, and no one, like, misses lyrics. And there's very few mishaps on this show. And, you know, we're on so much. And they're all really nice, and their families are great. We got lucky, I think, a good crop of people.
Megan is the big voice of the season, and she's tremendous.
Megan Lindsay, yeah.
She's tremendous. And then you got Joshua, who's kind of the older, doesn't look like a pop star guy until he opens his mouth, and you go, wow, this dude's got it.
Yeah, Joshua, I think some people, because, you know, he doesn't have the big, range and voice and sings softer. He did a Sting song like 3 weeks ago, and I think that kind of, you know, cemented him. And, yeah, I think Adam tells his millions of people to vote, and so it'll be interesting to see how it all shakes out. Adam had three people in the finals last time around, and Blake had one. And Blake somehow figured out how to win. So I really don't know who's going to win this thing tonight.
Sounds like there's some cheating going on.
I don't know what it's called.
Right?
I don't know.
Okay. Carson, you've been around for a long time.
Yes. I'm 61 now.
When you hear that the contestant is going to sing Hallelujah, mm-hmm. you cry a little on the inside, right?
In that case, because it was Adam's contestant, I figured it would go pretty well because Adam would – he's very particular about things like that, protecting, you know, the interest of great songs and things. Mm-hmm. So I was hoping that it was going to go well. But by and large, yeah, it's a dicey thing to do. It's like when someone sings, you know, a Kelly Clarkson song in the blind auditions. It's like, oh, you better be good. Or Whitney Houston. It's like, yeah, no, that's never – doesn't usually work out well.
Right.
Yeah. I thought Josh did a pretty good job with it, though.
He did. I mean, there are very few people who can – sing a song after somebody like Jeff Buckley has sung it, though.
I agree with you.
Did you ever need to hear Freeway of Love again before last night?
No. There were some song selections down the stretch in the live show. I was like, I love music. And there's been a bunch of songs. So I'm like, what the hell is this? I haven't heard this song. Seals and Crofts? Like, what?
It is weird. All right, so after tonight, are you a little bit of a free man? You just go back to three jobs?
A little bit, yeah. After tonight, my kids are here, my family's all here, my parents at the show. So, yeah, after tonight, no, that's not true. I think I – no, yeah. Well, I'll go back to New York, and we actually start shooting season 9 in the middle of June.
So there's we got like a couple of weeks
yeah,
off.
There's literally,
are you kidding me?
I swear to God. We start, yeah, June 18th.
So you narrow it down to one tonight and there's a winner. But the other three in the past, is there a history of them being able to be successful as well?
Yeah. I mean, I know that's the thing about the show, but, you know, it happens in like weird ways. Like this one kid, Avery Wilson, just got signed by Clive Davis and he's like making the rounds and he really might, you know, pop and do something. But after the show ends... You know, it doesn't really have to be the person that wins a show if they could just go on and do something. You know, often it's, you know, like Jennifer Hudson, I think, you know, there's a lot of, like, idol people who didn't win the show and went on to do good things. So, really.
Yeah, there's no better platform than network television.
It could come from somewhere, but, I mean, it's such a marathon, this show, that the fact that if Corinne Hawthorne doesn't win, but she doesn't have to go back to making pizzas, I think she would arguably say she's a winner.
Yeah. Since you brought up Idol, when you saw the news that they were hanging it up after 15 seasons, did you start wondering and thinking about how long The Voice is going to go, Carson?
I think about that. I thought about that the minute we started shooting the show. I mean, people thought that this format was fatigued from the beginning, from four or five years ago. I'm amazed that that people still enjoy watching people sing on television, whether it's Idol or us or any of the other shows.
Are you the person that killed Idol?
No, God, no. No, God, no.
Oh, that'd be a good thing.
But we're on twice a year, Bean, to answer your question, and I think that, I think we would scale back to probably being on once a year would be like the first tall tale. But the show, The Voice is just, it's still strong. It's crazy. Yeah. It's crazy to us all. So we all, every day we go to work, we're like, wow, we can't believe this is still happening.
Well, Kevin and I say this all the time, and I know you got to go to get to your own show here, Carson. But
I really don't, though. I really don't.
When we see you on TV, we realize how good you are on TV.
Oh, that's nice of you to say.
I mean that absolutely sincere. You make it look so easy and so smooth. And I know that in your head, you've got a million people talking to you. You're looking at a clock. You've got Pharrell just rambling, and you've got to hit a break. I know you're such a traffic cop up there, but you make it look so smooth.
It's very nice of you to say.
You're doing a great job. So people need to watch tonight, and they need to vote tonight, and the winner will be announced tonight, right?
That's exactly right.
Fantastic.
That's how it works.
NBC tonight starting at 8 o'clock, the 2-hour Voice live finale for Season 8. Carson Daly,
ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much, everybody.
Thank you, Carson.
Thank you.
It is 6:51.
How about this, you guys? Just announced on the program yesterday with Bono on the phone is U2 at the Roxy. It's coming up a week from Thursday. You cannot buy tickets, but you can win them from K-Rock, including right now. If you want to give us a call at 1-800-520-1067. You will have to earn them. You will have to play a game, but I think you'll enjoy it. 1-800-520-1067 right after the top of the hour. You can win your way into U2 at the Roxy. Hey, Ralph Garman.
Hey, it's Tuesday. That means new release day. Here's what's available for you to pick up if you like CDs and DVDs and TV shows on DVD, if those things are even things that you do anymore. Some people do. New CDs dropping today. Brandon Flowers, he's got a new solo record out called The Desired Effect.
Allie, you going to be okay?
I actually pre-ordered it and got it yesterday.
Are you pre-sad that you pre-ordered it?
I'm pre-sad because I pre-listened to it and now I don't know what to do.
I understand. Faith No More, Sol Invictus, they're new. Album is available today. 21 Pilots has a new album called Blurry Face. Zed has a new album called True Colors. And Hot Chip.
Hot Chip.
I'm familiar with this band, Hot Chip.
Yep, they're good. They're really good.
But it sounds like a sex move that Chip does. The Hot Chip. Involving a glass table.
I was afraid of that.
Yeah, chili. You don't want that.
What?
You don't want that.
I think I want the Hot Chip.
I don't think you do.
Why Makes Sense is the name of their new album. You can check that out. New DVDs. Feature films available for you today. American Sniper with Bradley Cooper and Sienna Miller. And The World's Fakest Baby. All-star in that film.
Did we ever get an explanation as to why they spent all that money to make that great movie and then cheaped out on the baby?
Because I don't give a damn.
All right.
That's what Clint said.
Hmm.
Hot Tub Time Machine 2 with Cordry and Craig Robertson. And Kevin, try to keep it in your pants. Zombievers.
Too late.
Zombievers available today on DVD. So you can enjoy that at home over and over and over again.
It's pretty strong.
TV shows on...
You can't say the F
word.
There's some
things that's the only word that it's acceptable.
And Duck Dynasty is one of them?
That there's 7 seasons of Duck Dynasty.
Yeah.
7 seasons, mm-hmm. 7 years
yes.
of Duck Dynasty.
Yeah, that's true.
So you're saying 5 for Breaking Bad, 7 for Duck Dynasty is what you're saying.
Mad Men, Duck Dynasty, same amount of years. That's what I'm saying.
Yep.
Screw you, America. Speaking of Mad Men, the finale having an unexpected effect on music. Mad Men at the end of the... I'll try not to spoil it in case anyone has not seen it yet. But at the end of Mad Men, they play an iconic commercial from 1971 for Coca-Cola featuring a tune called I'd Like to Teach the World to Sing. Now, you may or may not remember this commercial, but here's a little piece of the tune that's used in the commercial.
I'd like to buy the world a home and furnish it with love. Grow apple trees and honey bees and snow white turtle doves. I'd like to teach the world.
world to sing. Sing with me.
Perfect harmony.
Perfect harmony.
I like to buy the world a coke
and keep it company.
So that song features a bunch of hippies standing on a hillside drinking Coca-Cola, kumbaya, hand in hand. People of all races, creeds, and colors joining together in commerce, drinking carbonated sugar water.
Yep.
It's a lovely moment for everyone involved. And here's the thing. That song and that commercial was released as a radio spot in 1971, as I mentioned, and a TV commercial. But the song, the jingle, became so popular that the writers of the jingle rewrote it and then recorded it with a band called the New Seekers and released it as a single. It went to number 7 in 1991.
What?
Wow.
In the top 100.
1971.
I'm sorry, 1971. Went to number 7 at the end of 1971. A week later, a group of studio performers called the Hillside Singers also recorded the song. That version of the song went to number 13 in the Hot 100.
What's happening?
So at the same time, there were two versions, almost identical versions of the same song that were at number 7 and number 13 in the top 100. Anyway, the finale of Mad Men has resurfaced interest in this song, and apparently there's someone's going to re-release that song again to see if they can come up with similar success.
Okay.
So we'll have to wait and see and hear the new version. But
by the way, I thought this was fascinating, Ralph. You know, I've been like you. I've been reading a lot about the Mad Men finale. That Coca-Cola had given permission for them to use the ad, but had no idea how it was going to be used in the show. Can you imagine their amazement when they saw the way it you know capped the final episode?
Yeah,
and they didn't have to pay a dime for it. All free publicity for them.
That meant Coke said it's practically public domain in 1971. I mean, they're not protective of that commercial anymore. And they said, you want to use it as part of your show? Go ahead. And apparently, nice. Matt Weiner asked for it like a year ago or something, and he knew it was coming the whole time.
No kidding.
I love him.
This is not one of those series finales that someone just, they panicked on the spur of the moment, had to come up with something. This was obviously well planned out by this guy. Smart dude. Good man. Nice guy. Before I get to celebrity birthdays, I got a real quick email I want to read here about a celebrity sighting from listener Clay Crane, who was kind enough to write in. Ralph, my wife and I were at Starbucks one Sunday morning getting our morning coffee when we happened to notice that there was a guy there that looked a lot like Adam Levine at the front of the line. Made me think of this story because of Carson and the voice. After 7 minutes of trying to get a better look, we decided it was him and his wife. We didn't want to draw attention to them, so we decided not to say hi when they passed by. And when we got to the front, the lady working the counter told us that our coffee had already been paid for, and so had everyone else's in the store. When I asked who paid, her eyes looked over to where they were sitting. As we drank our coffee, we contemplated whether or not to say thank you. Finally, on our way out, we decided it was the right thing to do to at least say thanks. So as we passed by, I tried to think of something cool to say, but all I could manage to get out was, thank you, Adam M. Bihati.
I woke up in a new Bugatti.
Thank you, Adam M. Bihati. Thank you, Adam M. Bihati. Thank you, Adam M. Bihati.
You know what? I'm glad I get to say this on air. Who cares?
Thank you, Kevin, for bringing back my love for Bugatti.
You weren't going to do that at all today.
Now I'm back. Now I've got a coursing through my veins again.
That hurts.
I'm
bad on everything.
It's a
level.
New blush. It's very exciting. Good times. Today's celebrity birthday is actor Peter Mayhew. Played Chewbacca, of course, in the Star Wars films. Reprises his role in The Force Awakens, from what I understand. Maybe moves a little slower these days with his new Chewbacca knees. We'll see.
We had him in a couple years ago.
We did. Very nice guy. We had him in the freaking Chewbacca costume.
Yep.
Yeah, Chewbacca walked into the studio.
Look at her face. Look at Ellie's face right now.
Oh, my God.
He walked into this studio. Chewbacca. Not Peter Mayhew. Chewbacca walked in here. Look at her.
She can't talk. She's speechless.
She's speechless. Yeah. 71 years old today. Then he took off the head, remember? And he looked hot. He looked hot and uncomfortable.
And old and a little sad.
Oh, come on.
I'm just saying.
He's out there with still healthier than you.
Knees that don't work.
Yeah. When he stands up, he doesn't faint.
Just like a furry.
That's true. Who guitarist Pete Townsend is 70 years old today. UFC fighter Georges St. Pierre celebrates his 34th birthday. And singer Sam Smith He's 23 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Alan Coulter, 20-year announcer and right-hand man for David Letterman, joins us in about 15 minutes or so right here on the Kevin and Bean Show, talking about the end of an era on television. First, though, you know, we had Bono from U2 on the program yesterday.
What? Yeah, I heard you hang up on him.
And Kevin did hang up on him. And he told us that this show that they're doing for K-Rock at the Roxy next week is going to be the smallest room they have played in 40 years. They're the biggest band in the world, right, you guys?
Yeah, I'd have to say yes.
I'd say so, yeah.
Play the freaking Roxy. If you want to be there, we want you to be there. You can call us right now at 1-800-520-1067 with a game that we like to call the Wheel of Celebrities.
It's the Wheel of Celebrities. The Wheel of Celebrities. It's the Wheel of Celebrities. Wheel of Celebrities.
I went to the whiskey and they never showed up. Where's Bono, stupid Bono and Edge? I waited the whiskey for 4 hours and they never come to play at the club they said they're playing at the club.
So how's this would work there, Monkey?
Well, we spin the wheel, and it lands on a celebrity, and then that celebrity will read you lyrics to a U2 song. You just have to give us the name of the U2 song.
Is that why we have a room full of celebrities
next
door? Yes,
you didn't know that?
I said, that's weird. They must be queuing up for Carson show or something.
No, no.
Well, that sounds pretty easy, but let's see how it goes. Who's our first contestant, please?
Jude in Venice. Hi, Jude.
Hey, Jude.
Good morning.
Oh, jeez.
Come on. Too easy?
Yes.
Jude, we're going to spin a wheel. It's going to land on a celebrity, and then that celebrity is going to do some U2 lyrics. You tell us the song. Let's see who you get.
You get Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I can't believe I'm the first one to do all the things with the songs and everything.
You got in here quickly.
I was right here. I was waiting, hoping, praying that I would be the first one to go.
Well, I was very impressed. All right, you're going to do a U2 song, and then Jude's going to tell us what it is to go into the drawing to win the tickets.
Yeah. Touch me. Take me to that other place. Reach me. I know I'm not a hopeless case.
Beautiful day.
That is correct.
Yeah.
Nicely done. You go into
well
the drawing.
Well done, Jude. You're a good job
Jude,
with that.
Jude. What?
Jude. Oh, I thought he was Jewish guy.
Nope. No.
All right, I'm going to go back and do the other room.
Yeah, that's you should. I good. Think, yeah.
Martin in Alhambra. Hi.
Hi.
Are you ready for the Wheel of Celebrities? Here we go.
Yeah.
And you get Ray Romano.
Ray Romano.
All right.
Oh, hey, Deborah. Oh, I love you too.
I knew you'd enjoy this, Rob.
I'm sorry. I thought we were doing Ray Romano. Are we not?
Hey, Bean. Yeah, it's Ray. I'm here.
All right, Rob. You were out last week. That's when we discovered the voices of David Jacobs.
Yeah. Oh no, it's Ray. Hey.
All right,
Kevin.
Martin, hear your lyrics.
Have you come here for forgiveness? Have you come to raise the dead? Have you come here to play Jesus to the lepers in your head?
One.
All right, look at that.
Nicely done.
Another one in the drawing.
Thank you, Kermit. We appreciate you stopping by.
Holy crap.
Right?
I know, right?
How bad could that be?
It's not even in the ballpark. Robert of Pasadena, hi.
Hi, good morning, guys.
Let's spin the wheel, see which celebrity you get.
You get Party Bus Kevin.
Party Bus Kevin!
Oh, I can't believe it. I'm going down to say things for the radio.
All right, good luck, Party Bus Kevin.
Okay. I had a granola bar this morning.
I know.
I need a drink of fluids.
Fluids.
Okay. I was young, not dumb, just wishing to be blinded by you. Brand new, and we were pilgrims on our way.
Sounds like a good song the way you do it.
Robert?
Joey Ramone?
I think
we will accept that. Yes, the miracle of Joey Ramone is correct.
Wow, that Kevin does good work.
I do good work. Stupid, dumb, absurd.
3 for 3 in the drawing to win their way into U2 at the Roxy. Who's up next, please?
This would be Les in Orange. Hi, Les.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
How are you? Good, well. Here we go.
Good luck, sir.
And the person reading your lyrics is Al Pacino.
Ooh. All right.
Hi, Mr. Pacino. How are you, sir?
Couldn't be better. Thank you.
All right.
Here's some words for you. Less. Sometimes less is more.
I've heard that.
Let's see if this is one of those cases. To touch is to heal. To hurt is to steal. If you want to kiss the sky,
better learn how to kneel on your knees, boy.
Whoa, I didn't realize the song was quite so direct.
It's a whole different song that way. Less.
Mysterious Ways.
Mysterious Ways is correct, yes.
Right on.
Nicely done. You hold on.
Right on with you too, Les.
These are actual U2 fans, by the way. I'm very impressed with this group.
Let's go to Michael in Long Beach. Hi, Michael.
Hi, Michael. Hey there. Hey, Allie.
Hi, Michael.
All right. Let's spin the wheel and see which celebrity is going to be reading your lyrics.
Michael, like, what his phone's doing. His radio down, maybe.
Yeah, turn your radio down just a bit.
Oh, it's not on.
Okay.
Yeah,
all
that's,
right.
That's phone. That's phone echo. That's
your celebrity is Ray Romano.
No.
Ray
no,
Romano
again.
Hey. That's great news.
Wow, this game is fair.
I'm busy. Hey, whoa. But I like you too, so here we go.
I have the improv skills. That's just the voice talent.
Time out. Come on.
There's no time out.
Oh, okay.
Time in.
Yeah.
Michael needs his lyrics. Let's go.
You could have flown away, a singing bird in an open cage. Who will only fly for freedom?
Oh, man.
Michael, sorry about that.
Come on, Michael.
Sorry, man.
It's a good song.
Oh, it's sad.
You want to take a guess if you don't know?
I'm going to say Vertigo.
Oh, sorry, that was Walk Off. Could have flown away. Yeah, I didn't recognize either the way he did it.
Thank Ray you. Romano did everything he could for you, though, man.
Yeah.
All right, I Deborah. Think we got time for another one.
Just Who's saying the word Deborah doesn't make it an impression.
That's where you're wrong. Our next contestant is Ryan in Fullerton. Hi, Ryan.
Hey, guys.
Good luck, Ryan. Let's spin the wheel, find out who your celebrity is.
And you get William Shatner. Congratulations.
William Shatner. That's me.
How are you, Captain?
I couldn't be better, Bean.
Fantastic. Hey, did we miss the horse show?
No. We've still got it coming up, and Kevin, I believe I've got you down for a table.
All right. Ryan is your partner here. Let's give him some lyrics, have him identify a song.
I have kissed honey lips, felt the healing in her fingertips. It burned like fire, this burning desire.
Songs of Innocence?
No, that's just this one.
That's the album.
That's just only that one. That's only that song.
A U2 fan wouldn't know. Hit. I still haven't found what I'm looking for, though,
not
right?
Not a hit.
It's not a hit.
It's a
You're
deep
right.
cut.
All right. One more contestant. So far, Jude, Martin, Robert, and Les are in the drawing. Let's see if Rhonda can join them.
Hey, Rhonda.
Hello.
Did you know that last one?
I knew all of them.
All right.
Woo! Ooh, check you out.
Homer Simpson will be reading your lyrics.
Hi, Homer.
Oh.
Rhonda's on the phone. She sounds pretty.
Hi, Rhonda.
Nope. Hello.
Not having any of your cartoon
women
love.
Like me.
They don't like you.
Women don't like me. Yeah. I feel like a cartoon bean. Okay. Lights go down. It's dark. The jungle in your head can't rule your heart. A feeling so much stronger than a thought.
Vertigo.
Done.
She wasn't lying. Maybe she did know them all.
All right.
Got a great batch of U2 fans on the line. Jude, Martin, Robert, Les, and Rhonda. Only one will win his or her way into the Roxy U2 show next Thursday. Allie McKay, who's our winner, please?
The drawing is Martin.
Martin. Yeah.
Martin.
Martin.
Congratulations, Martin. He got through Ray Romano to win those tickets.
Wow.
Damn, Gina.
Degree of difficulty.
Well played.
It's the Wheel of Celebrities. Wheel of Celebrities.
Listen to this piece of tape from comedian Norm Macdonald from a couple of nights ago, the end of next week on The Late Show with David Letterman.
So anyways, I'd just like to say I know that Mr. Letterman is not for the mawkish, and he has no truck for the sentimental, but if something is true, it is not sentimental, and I say in truth, I love you.
Oh, come on, what a moment. What a moment. These last few weeks have been nothing but everybody from Tina Fey to George Clooney to Amy Sedaris, all of Dave's favorite guests showing up on The Late Show with David Letterman to say goodbye to a man who leaves television tomorrow night after 33 years in late night. You know, we haven't heard from Alan Coulter yet. He is the voice of The Late Show with David Letterman. He joins us on the phone right now. Mr. Coulter, welcome, sir.
Thank you so much, Kevin and Dean Show. And Allie, how you
Hi.
Doing?
Great to have you on. I can't even imagine what it's like being ringside to watching what's been happening on The Late Show these last few weeks. I mean, how are you people just not falling apart, just crying your eyes out?
It's marvelous entertainment at the same time. It's so teary. Bill Murray's going to be so great tonight, and Bob Dylan, but you played it just a bit just now, and it was the emotion comes through. Every one of these guests is saying, "I love you, Dave," and we all feel like that on the show.
Do you think Dave was Dave aware? I mean, he knew that he had been popular. He knew that he'd been on TV for a long time. But is he aware of the connection that he has made with viewers over the decades, Alan?
I hope so. I really hope so. These audiences, night after night, are just, they're loving it, but they love him. They love the show. They love him. You know, for the 20 years I've been on, I am convinced people don't watch Late Show with David Letterman because of the guests that are on. They watch it because they just love him on the show.
Mm-hmm. And he's a guy that's been hard for those of us on this side of the TV to kind of get a bead on as a person, you know, what it would be like to know him personally. Do you feel like you have a good personal relationship with him, or is it just a coworker thing?
Well, you know, it's not just a coworker thing. He's a great boss, but I've gotten to know him over the years, and there's a great deal of heart in him. There's a great deal of appreciation of life. But the thing that we all know about him, if we thought about it, is that he's an interested person. Interesting guest, but he's interested, and that's why with each of the guests that he has on, he's able to ask the questions that he does. He's interested in the answers we want to hear. Mm-hmm. And he puts those answers into perspective for us, whether it be in entertainment, whether it be 9/11, whether it be the environment, or whether it be terrorism. He finds out what we need to know as a voice of America, and I'm going to miss that. My family will, and all my friends and all the people who watch the show.
I got to tell you, you watch him, and you, I'm sorry to interrupt, and you know that he is a really smart guy, and he's really up to date, but he always plays it off like he has no idea what he's talking about. He gets the name of the project wrong, the date, whatever. It just doesn't seem to matter to him.
And don't you love it when he does
yes.
that?
Yes,
of course.
Yeah, I do too.
So, Alan, when you got hired 20 years ago to be the voice of The Late Show with David Letterman, you had no idea how much on-camera time you're going to have or how many ridiculous things you would be asked to do throughout the years, right?
Not at all. Thrown into a pool on my first day on camera.
in a very expensive suit, I bet.
Yes, absolutely. Everything was ruined.
And then after
and
that?
It was just the beginning.
After that, did you go, okay, this isn't going to work out, or were you thrilled?
After that, I said, I'm not wearing that suit anymore.
Yeah.
I'm not wearing the wallet and my beeper in my pocket. It's been great.
Can you even pinpoint one favorite memory?
Every one of the skits has been great. The joy of the show is that it's all extemporaneous. I find out that there's going to be a bit that I'm in an hour before we do it, before it's on the air. Sometimes even when we're on the air, when Dave says, let's put Alan on something, write it. And that's been great. And as long as I have the cue cards in front of me, I'm fine. The lights went out one time, and I tried desperately to read the words on the card. I thought I did a pretty good job, and when it ended, I said, oh, most people aren't even going to know the lights went out. And Dave's first line was, couldn't read that because the lights went out, right, Alan?
What about all the various ways that they've hurt you on the show or tried to kill you, Alan? Was there any that ever did hurt?
No. If you remember, the 2 years before they started hitting me, I was hitting everybody,
right.
Regis and all the guests included. Dave, one night after that, after I really gave somebody a punch, said, why doesn't somebody hit you? Hey, let's write that. And then for the next 4 or 5 years, it was, let's hit Alan. And I choreographed all of that. The director was kind enough to say, you're going to get hit, you're going down, so you tell him where you want to hit him to hit you, and how you want to go down, and we'll take it.
Bean mentioned that it's sort of hard to get a beat on Dave the guy. Do you think David Letterman the guy will miss being on TV, or will he be perfectly fine not doing it?
I think he will acclimate beautifully. I think, yes. Honestly, he will miss being on TV. May happen right away, may not happen right away, but I think he's looking forward to the life that he's built to this point. For the 20 years that are ahead of him. He's got family, he's got cars, he's got horses, he's got the type of a life that he wants to just transition to. And it might be a little difficult at first, but wishing him all the luck, I think he's going to make it.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we just, you know, we want him to have a happy retirement, and I suspect he's going to be like his hero, Johnny Carson, and we will almost never see him on TV again. He's not going to be a guy who's going to be popping up on daytime talk shows or anything like that. He's going to enjoy this retirement.
I'm hoping when he comes back for the reunions, and if they're yearly reunions or six-month reunions, and he, you know, I've got 42 hours, he could change his mind. We could be working on Monday. I doubt it, but we could.
This is the voice of Alan Coulter here on the Kevin DeMint Show. He's the voice of The Late Show with David Letterman. And by the way, in a long career of his own, Alan, in radio and doing voiceover works and, you know, for game shows and so many other things. Do you think you'll take another full-time job like this, Alan, or no?
We'll see what happens and see what's offered. I'm ready for anything. I love what I do, and I could love it tomorrow and love something else the next day. Life has been really good. You know, when we're – and I know you guys and Ali, you're blessed with what you do because you have fun every single day. I've had fun every single day, and I would like that to continue.
Right, we know you have to go. I have one last question. It's Bill Murray and Bob Dylan tonight. What is it tomorrow night?
If I knew, I'd be shot if I told you.
You don't know.
Okay. But I do know that it's something totally, totally different from every last show anybody has ever seen. This is going to be something. I know a little bit about what's going to happen. This is going to be something we're going to talk about for years.
Because Letterman's just not going to show up, right? Wouldn't that be the greatest exit ever? All right, Alan, we love talking to you, man. Thank you so much for the time today.
Be well.
Bye-bye. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin DeMint Show at 7:36.
You know, it's not just Chris Harrison who's always excited to meet a new crop of bachelors or bachelorettes, as they did last night on ABC. It's also the thrill of knowing that Ralph Garman and Petros Papadakis are back together on the Kevin DeMint Show. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the Bachelorette Report.
Well, his name is Ralph Garman, and he claims to be a man with Petros Papadakis, always holding hands, kissing and hugging at sunset, watching the Bachelorette. How can you watch that TV show? It both sucks. About the Bachelorette?
I don't think Omar's on your team, Ralph.
Well, whatever, like because it's the greatest time of the year. It's better than Christmas. Return to the Bachelorette.
Petros?
It's wonderful to be with you guys once again, and I think before we get this whole journey started for another season, I think we just have to put our cards on the table face up, Ralph.
All right.
Caitlin or Britt, man?
Well, P, you know from last season, I'm Team Britt.
Fake, Ralph. She's so fake.
Here's what I like about this report is that Ralph and Petros almost never agree.
Ralph has horrible taste in women and men.
I find you offensive on every level, sir.
So P, my understanding is this is the first time the Bachelorette has done this, but there are two different women competing to be the Bachelorette, and that's what last night was all about, correct?
It only took about 15 years to get to a Temptation Island style.
They really are going for the throat now. It is the two girls. You got Britt and you got Caitlin vying for the attention of 25 bachelors who will then be on the other side of it, and she will, whoever they choose, will start eliminating them one by one until she finds her true love and lives happily ever after with him.
Right, all the women. And, you know, I could go into some big thing about how, you know, this is the time for the women to have the power and the Bachelorette, and what a horrible thing in our society to take the power away from the women and let the men choose once again. But who are we kidding? There's no principles here. There's no standards. It's like the NFL. It's the Bachelorette. Who cares?
Right. It's a freak show, and we love it.
Now, I got to say, though, the sassy mouth Caitlin with her double tricep tattoos is, I mean, Britt is a fake chick. She makes a great first impression, and she's all super into everybody. But then later, she's like that girl that you go, man, I got to go out on a date with that girl. And you envision this whole relationship with her before you even start. And then like 2 months into it, you're the most miserable man in the world because she's freaking crazy, Ralph.
Hate her because she's beautiful, P. You just like Caitlin because she's white trashy and she's got her tattoos and she's a hard-drinking, foul-mouthed Canadian and you think you might get a shot with her.
You're right. I had no shot with that Scientologist Brit.
Exactly.
Stupid anime eyes.
Oh, yeah. Big eyes. That's a drawback on a beautiful woman. And I hate those giant lips of hers, too. They really, how repulsive.
She looks like a cow. Her eyes are so big.
Oh, how dare you, sir. Meanwhile, let's talk about the fellas. Is there a worse batch of men ever
grouped together in one house?
We say this every year.
But they keep getting worse.
In fact, I thought this group of dudes was relatively attractive.
Oh, P, come on.
I thought there were some good cheekbones, man. There were some of these guys, the facial structure was so good, their faces looked like kites. I mean, they were pretty. I thought they were better-looking guys than they normally get.
There was a bunch of facial deformities in this gang. You've got the guy from Kentucky with a forehead. He looks like a Neanderthal with his moonshine and his giant kid-and-play haircut. What's going on with him?
There was a guy that showed up with moonshine.
Yes!
There was also a amateur sex coach.
Yes.
Who showed up in a hot tub car.
Oh, yeah. We're going to get to that in a second.
Wow.
But first, let's get to Tony, the healer from St. Louis. Tony puts his profession down as healer. As far as I can tell, he's just a masseuse. Or a masseur, I guess. That's what he does. Here's him talking about himself.
I specialize in flexibility therapy.
Just feed that body full of oxygen.
My job is healing.
Good.
I've always been sensitive.
Hi, babies. How are you today?
Essentially antisocial at times.
Love you. I'll see you soon.
I'm definitely unique.
That's Tony, by the way, talking to and kissing his plants.
What?
Come on.
He's a little touched.
You think?
His plants?
The way he was kissing his plants goodbye?
Here's the funny thing.
He called his plants babies?
Yes.
He showed up with a black eye.
Yeah, nobody ever dressed.
There's got to be 100,000 freaking makeup artists on set.
Right.
And not one person could hook up this dude with a black eye.
How about a little concealer for Tony?
He looked like he was in our gang or something, and he's like all sensitive. And then Britt, who's so fake and stupid, looks at him and like, you know, just so you know, I understand you. You know, we're at a higher spiritual level. It's like, shut up.
He was spewing his psycho babble speak. That's why.
Dude, I get acupuncture, but I don't buy that crap.
Then we met Ryan. Ryan was the token drunk. Every season they have to have a guy who gets just loaded out of his gourd and makes an ass of himself.
How does it happen, though, every year? It's almost like they pay a guy at this point.
Well, I think they paid Ryan, and he earned his money. He just got drunker and drunker as the night went on. Here he is starting to feel his boobs.
I'm all horned up right now. You don't even know what's going on. I'm horned up, everybody.
I don't know how much he drank before we got here, but he's the guy.
I apologize for nothing. Oh, I'm sorry for being awesome.
You know, alcohol takes over some people and kind of gets in the way, and it only amplifies your actual personality.
I want to date both of them, but because I'm selfish. Very selfish person.
It's Kevin!
It's
Kevin on The Bachelorette.
How dare you?
It was kind of Kevin-esque.
And then as you mentioned, P, Sean, the amateur sex coach, that's what he listed as his profession,
mm-hmm.
showed up in a Cadillac DeVille, Coupe DeVille, that had been retrofitted to be a swimming pool.
Okay.
He was sitting in water while he was driving the car.
Yeah, and it was kind of more awkward. Like, if he was a good-looking guy or something, it might have been different. But, I mean, the guy was fatter than me and sweatier than me.
Let's not insult the man,
but
P.
But drunk Ryan comes out of the house and starts yelling at the guy in the car while it's happening. It was very awkward for all concerned.
The hot tub car, it's the best thing that's ever been invented.
That car sucks.
The hot tub car, it's the best thing that's ever been invented.
That car sucks.
You said it twice?
I know it's terrible, right?
It doesn't suck. It's something else.
What? I like the car.
Thanks, ladies. Buddy, we'll talk inside.
No, we won't. You suck, dude.
Whoa.
Good job.
Whoops. Now I'm the bad guy?
Yes, now you are the bad guy, drunk guy.
I just don't understand why somebody would just do it every year to make a, and then I thought he was going to fight Tiny Hands Harrison. He was acting like a hard guy with everybody, and old Mosquito Hands kicks him out, and the guy doesn't say a word. He just walked out like he knew he had gotten.
That's right.
Weird.
He was whipped because Harrison's a man. That's why, because Harrison stood up to him.
Wait, he kicked him out?
Chris Harrison threw him out of the house.
With his mosquito hand?
Well, this is after he threatened to rape another one of the contestants.
What?
A man.
Okay.
Grabbed one of the girls' asses, grabbed Caitlin's ass.
Okay.
And my favorite thing was Harrison pulls him out and says, we're going to have to send you home. Not because you're unbelievably drunk, and not because you touched Caitlin appropriately. I just don't think you're here for the right reasons.
What?
Yeah, no, go ahead and slap our contestant on the ass like you're in a freaking strip club in Dallas. That's no big deal.
Right.
But obviously, look, at The Bachelor, look, there's a saying in New Orleans for Mardi Gras that you can do anything you want but commit murder or pee in the street, and that'll get you arrested.
Right.
Basically, the same goes at The Bachelorette. The only thing that'll get you out is not being there for the right reasons.
Don't be there for the right reasons.
This show is not still judging people on being there for the right reason.
It is.
Come on.
Can you skip ahead to the final clip so we can just hear a little bit from the amateur sex coach? Because here's a guy who's here for the right reasons. Sure, he showed up in a hot tub car. Sure, he lists his profession as amateur sex coach. But when you listen talking to Britt, he's really caring about relationships.
I'm a sex coach. Okay?
Sorry.
It's because I found out that, you know, I don't want anything to go stale in my relationships down the road.
Sure.
Now, just when you get those anal toys, you know, just make sure that they have something on it so they don't get stuck in your bowel.
There you go. He's a man who cares about women and then not getting things stuck in their bowels.
Is he talking about having like a pull string or something?
Yes. Yeah, ripcord, if you will, Pete.
I get it.
Yeah.
Something to save it so you don't have to go to the emergency and take one of those x-rays. Hey, that's a good guy.
See, he cares.
I have a question for you guys. This was night one? This is the first episode?
Yes.
There's no resolution. That's the thing, you know. It's because Harrison and his tiny hands and his producers, you know, they're going to take advantage of us every moment they can. They have turned this whole opening Bachelor thing and the excitement of who's going to be the Bachelorette into a two-night, four-hour television event.
Oh, so you have to watch 2 hours tonight?
Last night they voted with their roses, the gentleman did, on which one they want to pursue as the Bachelorette. And tonight is when we find out who the Bachelorette will be.
I see.
It's very exciting, Pete.
Didn't you think it was kind of creepy when they kept saying, like, look, I just got to put my rose in her box?
That's how you voted, where they kept putting, you had to put a rose in each chest that had their names on it, and they kept referring to all night about how I need to put a rose in her box.
Mm. And I was freaking out because I don't know if the drunk dude that got kicked out ever voted. He just went in a Speedo after going in the pool and threw the rose against the wall.
Yeah, I don't believe he ever got his rose in anybody's box, P. I think we're good.
All right, listen, we're out of time for this week, but let me ask you this, P.
This week? We got to do it again tomorrow.
What about tomorrow when we find out who the Bachelorette is?
He means we're out of time today.
Oh, I hope so.
I meant for this season.
Come on!
P, based on what you saw last night, are you enthusiastically in for the ride that is the Bachelorette?
Well, to be honest with you guys, it's kind of like getting on a Greyhound going cross country. You know, I'm just dead inside. I do this because I have to.
Well, and Ralph, have fun for you.
You don't have any choice. Ralph, are you in?
I'm 100%
in. All right. Dead inside.
I'm in for all the right reasons. I'm here for all the right reasons. P obviously is not here for all the right reasons.
No, I'm in here for the tether on the anal toy.
All right. We're going to leave it there. This has been the Bachelorette Report. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:55.
The president of the UFC, Dana White, joins us in studio next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And before that, Ralph, we're going to be talking to the Reverse Flash.
Yeah, I know. I think Dave, King of Mexico, should do the interview.
Why?
Because I was in the other room. I said, I can't wait to talk to Tom Cavanaugh. And he said, so can he walk?
No.
Yeah.
Nope.
So I said, you may be a little behind on the
Flash. A little behind.
Maybe a wee bit behind.
Did he walk in the first? I mean, it was
the
pretty
first
early
or second
on.
Pretty,
episode.
Pretty early on, he got up out of that chair. Yeah. So maybe Dave isn't the guy to talk.
The season one finale of The Flash on the CW is tonight. We'll talk to actor Tom Cavanaugh coming up just after 8. Rob is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday.
My wife is leaving on a trip this week.
Okay.
Going away with some girlfriends on a little vacation. So it's just me and the little one at home. Going to be for a couple days. And so naturally when my wife leaves town, she panics because she recognizes at that moment that she is the only responsible adult in our family.
Right.
And that she is leaving her child in the hands of a just larger child.
Yeah.
Basically.
Mm-hmm. It's not a good idea.
And so she over-prepares, let's say, for leaving.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe over compensates by making very specific schedules and notes and timeline reams of paper are dropped on my desk involving emergency contact phone numbers and what to do when. And so the most recent chapter of this book that I've been receiving all week long has been earthquake preparedness and international phone numbers to use as contact points, because often in an earthquake, you phone service locally does not work. So you need contacts outside of the state in order to use as a relay for information.
Right.
Where we should meet in terms of, you know, if something happens at the house, we can't get it to the house. Where do we meet otherwise? Another rendezvous point.
Right.
A very complicated list of specific details. And I said, I'm not going to read this. And she said, what are you going to do? If I'm not here to save our family, what are you going to do in case of an earthquake?
Read that.
And I said, I'm going to wait for the rock to rescue me in a helicopter, of course. And she did not think that was funny.
No. Well, I'm sure she didn't.
But, of course, I was referring to San Andreas, the major motion picture, which preys on all of our fears of a giant earthquake in California. Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Alexandra Daddario, Carla Gugino, all-star. Rock plays a rescue chopper pilot who has to try to save his family as everything around him literally crumbles.
You are all going to die tonight.
I'd like to give you a pair of passes to the premiere of San Andreas. It's happening May the 26th at the TCL Chinese Theater in beautiful Hollywood, California. The movie's in theaters everywhere on May the 29th, but you will see it at the premiere, my friends. If you're one of the lucky five callers, first five callers at this phone number right now, 1-800-520-1067. Call now, get through, boom, passes to the premiere of San Andreas. This thing looks phenomenal.
That's just made up, man. That's not for real.
It's not even scary. It's never going to happen.
Never going to happen. That kid's science fiction.
Science says for sure. It's guaranteed 100% that's going to happen. No. They say it's supposed to happen in the 80s. Never happened. He's a gem. He really is.
He really is special.
That's just a movie.
Oh, it's not scary. It's never going to happen.
Yeah.
San Andreas looks terrifying. Did you ever see Earthquake, the OG Earthquake movie?
I don't remember.
Charlton Heston?
I don't
filmed
think
in
so.
Sense Around. You know what Sense Around was?
I don't know.
Just
what that
pump
is.
Up the bass, really. That's
just
all
turn
it was.
It, up.
It would just rattle your teeth with bass.
I like it.
But when the earthquake came in that movie, they would just crank the bass up on the soundtrack and everybody would start shaking.
You sound freaked out by that, by this whole topic.
I completely wigged out.
Well, then definitely don't read what you should do. According to your wife.
It's a lot
definitely
of work.
Don't
it's a
do
lot
that.
Of work. Oh, easy, easy public service announcement. I know it's important.
I support
I'll
her
get
type-A-ness.
To it.
Blah,
blah, blah, blah, blah, blah,
blah,
blah.
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 Look at that. I'm out of time already.
Wow. Yes.
Look, it's important. I know. You got to do all that stuff. I'll get around to it. I'll read it eventually.
Right.
What are the odds it's going to happen now? It's not going to happen now.
Let's ask Dave, because he's
the
only
one. It's never going to happen, so don't worry. Don't read it. It's stupid. Don't use wiper blades for the reins, even.
I bet Kevin's prepared, though. Seems like the kind of guy who would take the threat seriously and get all of his ducks in a row ahead of an earthquake, right?
Actually, I'm prepared, Bean. What do you think
really?
Of that? What do you think of that?
Are you really?
Mr. Big, Mr. That's... Hey, I'm going to make fun of the dumb guy.
That's all your wife, though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's face it, if it wasn't for our wives, we'd all just be
that's
just
true.
Homeless, shabby, just dressed in rags, dirty men living in a dumpster somewhere.
True that.
Today's celebrity birthdays, actor Peter Mayhew. You may know him best in the role of Chewbacca that he played in the Star Wars films.
What are some of the other roles we might know him from as well, though?
Well, he also played Chloe on Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
Okay, same guy. All right.
Yeah. He is 71 years old today. Who guitarist Pete Townsend turned 70 today?
I'm sorry, he's the guitarist for who?
Twice?
Really?
Really? You're going to go back to that well? It's got poisoned.
That was terrible
Stop
the first time.
Stop drinking from it.
Got a whole new audience, you guys. Want them to enjoy that.
And UFC fighter Georges St. Pierre celebrates his 34th birthday today. Singer Sam Smith is 23. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
1 hour away from your next chance to win tickets to join us, Kevin and Bean, along with a little band called U2, taking over the Roxy 1 week from Thursday night. We got tickets for you starting at 9 o'clock and then every hour on the air all the way up until 9 o'clock tonight on K-Rock. Ralph, I don't want to put you on the spot here with our guest on the phone, but
yes.
wouldn't you say, though, of all the media that's out there, especially television shows based on comic book source material, The Flash has got to be the best of all of them, right?
Absolutely. No, I agree. It walks that line. It has the tone of it's an enormously fun show, but at the same time takes the material seriously, but it doesn't take itself too seriously. And I think of all the incarnations, especially of the DC Universe, Flash is the most successful and the most fun to watch for sure.
But we're still allowed to root against Tom Cavanaugh's character, right?
You better. He's a bad dude.
He is a bad dude.
He's a very bad dude. We're very excited to welcome Mr. Cavanaugh back on the program. I think we had you on right when The Flash debuted back in October, but welcome back for the season finale tonight on the CW at 8 o'clock. Hey, Tom, how are you?
Gentlemen, that was, like, so eloquently put. We're now drawing up a contract to hire you guys as our PR people. That was more erudite than I could ever be. Thank you for your time. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Tom.
That was tremendous synopsis and tremendous praise. We're very grateful. Thank you.
Well, it's not just us saying it, Tom. Look, I mean, it's the most successful show on the CW. Everybody is watching because you guys are doing tremendous work.
Well, that's a very generous assessment, but I will say this. We, the people who are doing the show, absolutely love doing this show. Like you say, you know, it's fun. We don't take ourselves too seriously, clearly, and we're I think, thrilled to be people who can, like, you know, play around, put a comic book, and make it come to life. We're really having a blast doing it.
It looks
really,
like everyone.
Really, it's really fun.
Looks like everybody else is having a blast. Your character, though, not so much. Not so much.
Well, like, you know, he's like, this is a guy who's like, if I'm smiling too much and telling jokes, I feel like our plot kind of falls thin a little bit.
So, yeah, That's probably true.
I got to put, like, you know that old adage, right? Never trust a man in a yellow super suit. I feel like I'm that guy, you know, like your grandma told you.
She told me that my whole life.
Never eat yellow snow, and never trust a guy in a yellow suit. I think that's how it went.
Exactly right, Grandma. Well, she was right. You know, not to be trusted. But, you know, in my defense, really, I'm just a guy trying to get home. If people get in my way, that's just an obstacle and a conflict that needs to be overcome. That's all.
What a great arc for you to play, Tom, from where we started this season. I can't believe it's only been one season, by the way. From where we started this season.
They packed it full. They jammed it full of stuff. Because, you know, we just assumed that, you know, every time you do a television show, you assume it's going to get canceled. So we're like, we better get all sorts of stuff in there. And then the network's like, all right, now we need you guys to tell us what we're doing for season two. And we're like, whoa.
We got to do this again next year?
Season two? No. Haven't you been watching? We fired the guns. We got no ammunition left.
We pulled out the gorilla. We got nothing left.
Exactly right. Once the gorilla got hammered by a train. Yeah. Once the gorilla looked down on Detective Joe West and said, Grodd, hate banana. We're like, that's it. We're done.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's our exit line.
I always love these interviews because I picture people who don't watch the show going, what the F is going on?
What are they talking about? Yeah.
Now, are you glad that you got exposed as early as you did in the series as the Reverse Flash, or would you have liked to play that duality for longer?
No, gosh, no. Like, I loved doing, where everything I said had, like, double meaning. Every actor will tell you that's a joy to do, right? You're like, hello, nice to see you. Well, what does he mean by that? That was tremendous. I really enjoyed that. But, I mean, you know, getting into the super suit was the reason that signed on to the show. So, like, as soon as we got that going, I think that was episode 9, I was very, very happy. And I really enjoyed the last 5 episodes where basically he's been outed as the guy and now it's just like a chess match. That's been tremendous to play. The stunts have been fun. You know, Grant and I beating each other up has been fun. The whole thing has been tremendous.
And, of course, it's a chess match that is going to pay off tonight. I mean, we have been racing toward this time travel plot line that is going to wrap up tonight.
See
that?
Yeah.
See how he does it?
And what I love about, I'm a sucker for time travel. I think Ralph is too. I mean, it's such a phenomenal device. It's because we have no idea. There's so many different ways something like this can go. That's why we're on the edge of our seats, is having no idea how successful this travel to the past is going to be.
Well, I will say that was when we kind of felt like when, you know, we were building towards a certain something, but even the actors, when we read that final script, which is going to air tonight, 8 o'clock on the CW, shameless plug. But literally, we were like, oh, that, I did not see that coming. And so there's two things. One is, I think that there will still, even though, like, there's a massive amount of people who are very much, I think, into the Flash, the comic book, and sort of, you know, are thinking ahead as to what the outcome could be. I think even for those people, there's going to be twists and turns that were unforeseen. And for us as actors, we did not, you know, anticipate what we're going to get to do. That's one. The second thing is, I feel like, you know, there's some season finales where it's like, okay, now tune in next year. Whereas we're like really, really trying to answer all the questions and show people what they really want to see and wrap up that season, which I think is like you kind of owe to your audience. But as you guys know, that's not always the way it goes. So we're like, you know, we're happy with what we did, and hopefully the people will like it too.
That's almost never the way it goes. I mean, that's nice that you're actually paying off. That's nice.
Yeah, I'm still waiting to see who shot JR.
Yeah. So the reverse
good
flash.
Good reference, by the way.
Very timely reference. We appreciate that, Tom. So the reverse flash could go back and stop Hitler, but instead of stopping Hitler, he just cares about his mommy issues, right? That's what's going on here?
The reverse flash or flash?
Reverse flash.
Yeah, I think you mean flash.
Flash.
Because Flash is the one with the mommy issue.
Trying to say, right. Okay, yeah. Gotcha. Right. Going back in time, right, John?
Yeah, the reverse Flash goes back to 1971 and writes the Coke jingle for that big commercial, I think.
That's nope, that's different. No, that's Mad Men.
Right.
It was Mad Men.
Tab, Cola, whatever. Yeah, you know what's interesting is, you know, all your, here's the thing, sure we have to tackle Hitler, but listen, you got to get your house in order first.
That's right. Sure, that's true. That's right. Right.
All your problems start at home, and like Barry starting at square one with his home, and then we'll move on to like saving the world and later.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
I think Grandma always said that too. Don't trust the man in the yellow super suit, and before you tackle Hitler, clean up your own home.
Clean up your own house. Exactly right. All right.
Just have weird grandmas. The Flash season one finale airs tonight at 8 o'clock on the CW. Tom Cavanaugh is so great on that show and always very generous with your time to come on. Anything else you want us to know about tonight before we say goodbye, Tom?
that's very good because I was like, yeah, here's what happens at the end. I just hope that people watch and that they enjoy watching it as much as we did doing it.
I got to tell you, it's been a great ride this season.
Tremendous season it's been.
And I agree with Ralph that it's not possible it's only been one season. It's so much has happened. It's so fun. So I can't believe the finale is tonight. Okay. Excited.
Yeah, me too. I know, it's going to be fun, I think.
Tom, thanks for coming on the show. We appreciate it.
Always a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
You bet. Tonight, 8 o'clock on the CW.
It is always a thrill when our next guest sits down in the studio here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He is the president of the UFC, the Ultimate Fighting Championship. Our friend Dana White joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Dana, how are you, sir?
Good morning.
Former friend. He showed up in a Celtic shirt.
I didn't notice that.
That's not acceptable. That's not cool. Beautiful.
But who's gonna hit Dana? You know what I mean? He's got a lot of guys on his team, Kevin. I don't think you want to mess with. So, Dana, how's the business of running the UFC these days? From the outside, it seems like things couldn't be going any better. But I'm sure the job's a lot tougher than we know. How's it going for you?
Everything's good. You know, we take our bumps and lumps here and there, but it's been good. Last year was a horrible year with injuries. This year, we've made a few changes that everybody isn't thrilled about, but we'll get through it.
You get a lot of flack all the time.
All the time.
Yeah.
No matter what we do. We can do the greatest things in the world, and you can't make everybody happy. What are you going to do?
Now, were you suggesting that you made some changes to reduce injuries? Is that what you meant?
Yeah. Well, what we're doing is building a new office in Las Vegas, and part of it, we're building this huge gym and a rehab center. So normally what we do is our fighters, let's say a guy blows an ACL out. We get him the surgery from the best doctor that repairs. He's actually here in L.A. And then we send him home and say, call us,
call us when you're ready to fight.
Exactly.
Sort of, yeah.
Exactly. And these guys aren't doing the proper physical therapy that they should be doing. So the Cowboys or the Patriots they don't send these guys home. They're on top of them. And that's what we're going to start doing in Vegas. We're building this rehab center and we're going to make sure these guys are doing the right thing and learn how to stay healthy.
Gotcha. Now you're the guy on speed dial whenever there's trouble, and I hate to start with this, but I know it's on a lot of people's minds. So, what was the day like when the John Jones news broke? What was that day like for you?
Which day?
I guess there were a lot of them, but what's it like dealing with? I mean, not only dealing with somebody who obviously you're counting on for these events that are already pre-scheduled, but just the public relations aspect and everything else. I mean, you're the face of the franchise.
Yeah. What people don't realize is we have almost 600 fighters under contract, so we have to deal with all the professional stuff that goes on, but we have to deal with the personal stuff too. It's never fun when you get those phone calls, but it's part of the deal.
Did you know when you got that phone call that you're gonna have to vacate the belt? Were you already sort of feeling
that? We were heading in that direction the last time, and then with this one, a hit and run. Yeah,
it's pretty.
Yeah, it was time. Yeah.
Like you had no choice. So you know John pretty well and have for a long time. What do you think his prospects are for turning himself around?
Well, I think it's going to be really tough for him this Saturday night to sit home and watch that title go to somebody else. And hopefully, you know, that motivates him to you know, he's got to go through court. He's got to handle his legal problems right now. He's got to handle those. And hopefully, you know, Saturday night really motivates him to get everything going in the right direction.
Does he have addiction problems?
I would say that
he did rehab for a day, Bean.
If you recall that,
that's right.
That was one of the craziest things. I was like, what?
Well, just listen, let me clarify that. He went in to the rehab center and they did a 24-hour evaluation on him and they said that he wasn't an addict.
Oh, I see.
So then they said you probably don't need to be here. He went back out and this hit and run thing happened, and he obviously has some personal problems that he needs to deal with, and now he's got the time. You know, there's a lot of pressure for a guy that's that young, is on the streak that he's on, and you know, has the biggest win streak, has broke all the records when it comes to fighting in the UFC, and I think the pressure got to him, and now he's got time to focus on himself and fix himself.
So those of you that don't follow closely, so Anthony Johnson and Daniel Cormier this Saturday night are fighting for the belt that he held.
Right.
For 4 years, right?
Yeah. Right. He held the belt for 4 years. The belt is vacant now, and these two will fight this Saturday to see who the champion is.
And you expect Jones will be back, though, right?
I do. I think he's going to get his stuff fixed and cleaned up, and he will come back and fight the winner of Saturday night.
I'd like to squeeze in a phone call. Oh, you just answered it right there. David in Covina, hi.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. What do you want to ask Dana?
Yeah, he pretty much just answered it, but depending on the outcome, like if he does a couple years in prison or anything, will he have to get an immediate title shot, or will he have to work his way back up like Dominic Cruz?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. No, I think he comes right back for an immediate title shot. Cruz was out for a very long time. I don't know if John Jones is going to do any jail time. He's got a civil lawsuit against him from the woman that he hit. Mm-hmm. And, he's facing felony charges for hit and run. So it depends on how this thing plays out. He's either going to get no felony and jail time, or jail time and no felony, or jail time and a felony. Well, you know, none of it is positive. None of it looks good, but he's going to have to deal with this.
And you expect when he comes back that he will be ready for a title shot? Depending on how long it is.
Right. And if he continues to train. And I mean, these guys know when they're ready to come back and fight. So I'll leave that up to him.
Yeah. Thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it, sir. You know, it's interesting. We had DC in here yesterday, and I feel like your guys don't take time off between fights anymore. I feel like the minute they're done, they start training for the next one.
It feels like that, but that's not the case. These guys have, they fight three times a year. The norm is three times a year, you know, provided they're not.
I'm not saying you're overworking. What I'm saying is they don't allow themselves the slack. I feel like they're such competitors that they can't wait to get back in there to make sure they're always in tip-top shape.
Well, we have guys that are that type, and we got guys that are not. Daniel Cormier is that guy. Daniel Cormier is, you know, that old-school, tough-as-nails wrestler that went through, you know, that went through everything that old-school wrestlers went through. And he's a hungry and determined guy. He's super intelligent. He's a great guy to sit down and talk to. He's a great guy to listen to breaking down fights. We love Daniel Cormier.
How many calls did you get once you vacated the belt about fighting?
Oh,
Rumble Johnson.
As soon as Daniel Cormier heard about this thing,
right,
he started blowing me up on the phone. Boss, I'm in. I got this fight. Let me take
but
this fight.
But how many other guys were doing that? Were there a lot or no?
Not really,
not
no.
Really.
Cormier was the guy who was really on it and blowing me up. And, you know, that's the kind of guy he is. And then Anthony Johnson, he was the one that was supposed to fight John Jones anyway. But I never thought I'd see a scenario where a 170-pounder moves up to 205 pounds and is knocking out real light heavyweights. It's fascinating.
And not beating them down, but just turning the lights off.
Yeah, I mean, he fought Alexander Gustafsson, who took Jones 5 rounds, and he knocked him out in the first round.
Yeah, that was unbelievable.
Johnson looks unbelievable.
In his own country. That's just insane.
Yeah, with 30,000, you know, Swedes cheering him on.
It's insane.
All right. We need to take a break, unfortunately. Dana White is here. We want to talk about UFC 189 as well. This is Jose Aldo and McGregor. This is going to be maybe the fight of the year, I think, probably.
Cool. Yeah. I agree.
We'll take a break. We'll come right back.
Dana White in studio with us right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. He is the president of the UFC. We're going to get to UFC 189 in just a second, Dana, because I know we're all excited about that. But I have to ask you this Ronda Rousey question.
Yep.
I haven't read her book yet. I'm getting to it soon because we're having Ronda talk about it. But did you read it, and did she have to vet that with you before she published it?
No.
I'm guessing she doesn't vet.
Yeah, no, she doesn't. She wrote this book. I haven't read it yet, but Lorenzo did, my partner, mm-hmm. and a lot of other people, and said it's actually a fast, fun read, and it's a really good book.
No bad surprises in there, Dana?
Oh, I'm sure. You know, she's Ronda. I'm sure there's a ton of stuff in there. But that's it. When you write a book, you lay it all out and you tell the truth. And nobody's better at telling the truth than Ronda. So
does she still throw your words in your face about how you once said women would never fight for the UFC? I mean, do you still hear that from her now that she's among your biggest stars?
Not really. No, she doesn't do that. But you know, I'll tell you what she does do. She said, I want the, every time that she fights, we're like the women's bantamweight champion of the. She said, "I don't want women's there anymore. I'm the bantamweight champion of the UFC. If you don't know I'm a woman, you got bigger problems."
Yeah,
than, you
well,
know?
That's true.
So she says, "I want that gone." You know, she'll come in and tell us things that she wants, and and you know what Ronda wants, Ronda gets.
Yeah. Well, she is the best 15 seconds in sports when she fights.
Yes, she is. She is.
When a fight goes that short, do you get a little worried?
No, night. The thing about that night is that everybody believed that Kat Zingano was the girl to beat her.
Somebody was
right,
to beat her, right.
They were like, everybody was just digging in for this unbelievable war, this battle that was going to happen. And the fact that Ronda did it the way that she did, people were just blown away. It was a positive thing, not a negative thing. I mean, everybody stood up and was looking at each other like, wow.
I spent $99 on the Mayweather fight,
right.
And that was a huge disappointment.
Right.
Yours
that,
was
that 15 seconds of Ronda was better
great.
Than, you know.
It was great. Somebody asked me, "Oh, did you feel like you wasted your money?" I was like, "No, that was awesome."
You spent $100. I bought 8 tickets to that fight. Yeah.
Oh, wow, Dana.
Yeah.
Oh,
no. Brutal.
Good times.
Speaking of boxing, by the way, you're a big fan of this Triple G, though, right?
I do like Triple G. Yeah. See, everybody asks me what boxing needs more of. They need more Triple G. That's what they need. Guys that go in there and actually fight. That's what people want.
Yeah.
People want guys that are going to go in and really fight.
Because Mayweather doesn't.
No.
He just doesn't fight.
Floyd does not fight, you know?
And that's frustrating.
Yeah, it's very frustrating. You know, it's funny because you get all built up and hyped up for the fight, and you're like, wait a minute. Been watching this guy box for 20 years. What did we think was going to be different in this fight than any other fight over the last 20 years?
Yeah.
Hey, all he does is win, right? I mean, that's what his defense would be. Is
yep.
He fights a smart strategy, if not an exciting strategy.
But he doesn't fight for the most part. Like that was the first fight I had bought of his in the last 4 or 5. I think
right.
I've never been a fan of his. I don't think he puts himself at danger, and that's what the sport needs.
Yep.
But
no, I
bought this one. Sucker.
He has a great defense. And, the thing is that Colin Floyd, the best ever, and all this other stuff is insane. Because when you go back to the days of Hagler, Hearns, Duran, Leonard, I mean, if there was that type of a division right now,
yeah,
Floyd would have a tough time.
Yeah, good point. All right, let's move on to UFC 189. This is going to be July 11th, MGM Grand Garden Arena in Las Vegas. It's on pay-per-view. Tickets available now at UFC.com. Conor McGregor is a bolt of lightning for the sport, isn't he? He's the perfect fighter because he's great and no one is more entertaining to listen to.
It's true. When you have a guy that can talk and has the charisma and the personality of a Conor McGregor, yet he goes in and backs it up too and is a really good fighter, it's such a home run. And then when you have a champion like Jose Aldo, who hasn't lost in 10 years, has defended his title 8 times, it's the perfect recipe. And we were just talking about the Floyd Mayweather fight. The beauty of a fight like this is Conor McGregor is a guy that goes in there and goes right after you.
Right.
He tries to take you out. And when you fight that kind of a fight with Jose Aldo, tries to take your head off. There's no way that's not a good fight. It's impossible.
That is going to be amazing. Now, does Jose, is he comfortable dealing with a guy like McGregor?
No, he's not really. He's not a smack talker. I don't know if you guys... We have a show called UFC Embedded, and it's online. You can go on YouTube, UFC Embedded, and we did 10 episodes where we did the world tour when we were doing this thing. Over 13 million people have watched that Embedded. When we do the Embedded leading up to this fight, it's going to be off the charts. It's going to be crazy, and it will be very entertaining.
They just seem like polar opposites. You've got Jose playing ping pong leisurely, and then you've got Connor just out of his mind, cuckoo. They're crazy together.
Yeah, you're
it's
right.
going to be the most insane fight. Is this the fight of all fights in the UFC, in your opinion?
It's the biggest fight of the year for us, and yes, we think it's going to be, you know, we think it's going to be really big. Yeah, so
huge.
Do over a million buys.
Over a million buys?
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't think we're going to do 4.4 million, but we'll definitely do over a million.
Dana, you're probably one of the few people who's not surprised how big UFC is. This was always your vision, right? What's an area that you'd like to see improvement in, an area you'd like to move more into for the sport?
Yeah, I always believed that this thing could be global. I believed that it could be big. And
you said bigger than football, bigger than the NFL.
Well, you know, we're talking globally here,
yeah.
You know.
Stockholm was a good step.
In some countries, we're second only to soccer. You know what I mean? And... You know, we continue to move into the, we're going to the Scotland for the first time this year. You know, we're doing a Ultimate Fighter reality show. We're filming it right now in Japan.
Oh, really?
Wow. We just did another fight in Australia in a new city for the first time. We just did the Philippines on Saturday for the first time. So we continue to move into these new markets and continue to grow the sport.
Is there any place that doesn't seem to want you? It doesn't seem like it.
No, I mean, everywhere. And right now, working on this new TV show right now that we're actually going to film the first episode at the end of June. And it involves going to a lot of these smaller shows. Just the ones that I know of off the top of my head, there's 160 smaller shows like all over the world. Just the ones that I've looked at and researched. I mean, this thing is is huge and it's everywhere.
How weird was it for you with the fight on Saturday? It was Edgar Faber, right? How weird was it for you to be watching UFC at 8 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah, I know. You know, sometimes it's kind of cool because on a Saturday you can get up, you know, you're just laying around the house anyway.
Yeah.
And you can watch the fights and then you got the evening to yourself.
That's right.
I'm waiting for the ratings to come back, so we'll see. We'll see what everybody else thinks.
Well, I mean, let's face it, you can't tape delay a sport, so
right.
you got no choice. If you're going to fight around the world, sometimes it's going to be at an inconvenient time for us on the
Absolutely
West Coast.
Right.
Just how it works out. Well, it's a miracle what you got going on, Dana. It's always great to catch up with you. So UFC 187 is, of course, this weekend in Las Vegas, and UFC 189 is going to be July 11th, and as you said, that could be your fight of the year with Aldo versus McGregor, and a great undercard as well. Dana, we love you, man. Thanks for coming in.
I love being here. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Ooh, you. Ooh, I'd leave it all. Ooh, for you. Ooh, you. Ooh, I'd leave it all.
You love
Adam
that song.
Freaking Sandler.
You love George
Why
Ezra.
Why doesn't he just sing
you
like
love
a person?
106.7 K-Rock is KRQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show. It's 852.
I believe there was a request made for a moment with Kevin.
Yep.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
And the answer that I think I always ask, and I'm sure it can't possibly be this simple, is stop it. Stop doing that.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Hard to argue.
Well said, Kevin.
Wow, that was Cosby-esque.
How dare you.
Ralph is here with another look at the showbiz beat here on a Tuesday morning at 8:53. What's going on?
Music news. Green Day did a hometown benefit concert on Sunday. I don't know if you saw this or not. RollingStone.com said the group that played at 924 Gilman Street in Berkeley, which is a nonprofit venue that banned Green Day after the band signed Reprise Records and became a major label act, which I thought was pretty funny.
Huh.
They played that venue a lot back in its early days as a group. So the concert was there to raise money for two independent publishers, a recording studio, and dozens of residents who have lost everything in a building fire near Oakland. So they went back home to raise a little money for people who had lost everything, which is kind of cool.
That's pretty
That's
cool.
nice.
Yeah. More music news. Steve Aoki, he's in a bit of trouble. He's being sued for allegedly breaking a fan's neck.
What?
He likes to crowd surf.
Yes.
And in 2012, He was jumping off the stage during a performance at the Hard Rock Cafe in San Diego, landing on a blow-up raft that this woman was trapped underneath. He jumped on her and broke her neck, nearly paralyzing her. She fell unconscious underneath the raft and was diagnosed with a broken neck, which kept her in the hospital for 3 days and cost her 2 months of work.
That's alleged.
Allegedly.
Well, now, that's an interesting case. If you go to a Steve Aoki show, do you have a reasonable expectation?
Not to have your neck broken.
That he's not going to jump into the crowd. I mean, it's kind of a fluke thing that somebody got hurt, but, I mean, you kind of know he does that at every show, right?
Yeah.
I wonder what the liability is on something like that.
Look, I may know that Gallagher breaks watermelons at his show, but if the hammer flies out of his hand and hits me in the head...
Right.
I would like some recourse for that, please. Yeah. He should have held on the hammer better. I mean, if that's what you're going to do, if that's your show, you have to take certain precautions to make sure nobody's neck gets broken in the audience.
It just sounds like a fluke thing.
Yeah,
I mean, he's probably jumped into a crowd 200 times.
And how lucky has he been that no one has been seriously hurt before?
Yeah, maybe so.
I mean, it just seems like
that's weird.
You should be able to go to a live show without getting your neck broken.
Well,
There should be that.
I mean... Right.
That would be nice.
You assume
that. If you had that level of comfort going to a live show and leaving without being unconsciously carried from the venue with a broken neck.
However, having said that, if you go to a Gallagher show in 2015, you deserve to be hit with a hammer.
Well, sure, that's true. As we come completely around. Steve said, I would never want anyone to get hurt at any of my shows and feel badly that someone has, but at this time I've been advised by my attorneys not to speak about this as it's going to trial, he said. So I guess we'll see how it shakes out in court. Didn't he have to stop throwing cake?
No, he chose to.
He stopped, yeah.
Why did he stop? Didn't somebody get hurt?
People.
I don't think it was
somebody had a gluten reaction.
That's what it was.
Yeah, they swelled up.
I think it just ran its course. He did it for
years. Someone complained or got hurt or filed a suit or something, and he said, well, I'm going to avoid doing that.
Possible.
Yeah.
So soon, he's just going to be in a box, just DJing for us. We won't even be able to see him anymore.
Oh, I'm sorry. What does he do? What's his line of work?
He's a DJ.
Then just do that! Stop throwing cake and breaking people's necks!
But he tries
play
to make
the music.
An entertaining, energetic show, though. That's one of the reasons why people love to go see him. He's a great DJ.
Well, then that should be enough.
He is a great DJ.
That should be enough.
And it's entertaining on top of it.
And he breaks people's necks.
No, please.
You break one neck and all of a sudden you're a neck breaker.
Yes!
That's alleged.
Stop with the neck breaking! That's all we're saying.
I think you're asking
you too
much.
Why are you guys pro neck break?
We're not.
I'm not.
And you sure seem like oh, whatever. Girl breaks her neck.
No.
Steve Aoki. Woo! Party hardy.
No, I just think, look, lots of people jump into crowds and nobody gets their neck broken. It's a fluke thing that happened. I don't know how liable he should be for that.
If I throw a fork in Jess and it sticks in your eye, that's a fluke thing. Did I poke you in the eye with a fork?
But I think throwing a fork at someone is almost guaranteed to hurt them.
How about jumping on someone? Will that make them feel good all the time?
I don't know. I just feel like there's been a lot of crowd surfing without incident. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I agree.
I think if you jump on an inflatable raft that's on top of people in a crowd, someone's going to get hurt.
Well, someone did.
Would you ever recommend doing that? Ever jump on a raft that people are under?
I would think you'd be safer in a raft than you would if you just stage dove. Right? Because you're just landing on people because it could be
people
held
can't even
up.
See you coming.
It could be
can't
held
even
up
see
by
you.
20 people,
they
not
can't
just
even
one.
See you. They're underneath a giant sheet of rubber, and you're and they're blind to you jumping on them. If I have no raft on me, at least I can see you coming and try to protect myself.
But you can see the raft coming as well. This seems like a one-off. It's
the
cool.
Raft coming as
it's
well.
Cool. I think it's good.
I'm trying to understand your
I'm
logic.
I'm saying you said you can't even see him. You can't.
Right.
So
I put a raft on top
right.
of you.
Yes.
Okay. Then you're covered
right.
in darkness.
Right.
And then some guy's going to jump in the raft.
Right.
And there's 1 millimeter of rubber at the bottom of that raft.
Right.
Protecting you from someone, a missile coming at you that you can't see.
I'm going to take a recess right now because I'm so mad at both of you guys.
No,
I'm about
hear,
to hold both of you.
I
want
to hear why this is a good idea from Kevin. This is,
I'm not saying it's a
safer.
Good idea.
This is safer not to see the guy jumping on you than it is to.
You don't think a boat that's held up by
15 or 20 people is safer than a guy jumping, which has happened since the beginning of
time. This isn't a rowboat. You know, have you ever felt a raft, rubber raft?
Yes.
You know what the bottom of them feel like?
Yes.
They give completely.
I understand.
It's not protection.
Right. I understand. I'm not saying there is. I'm saying it's held by, the weight of it is held by 15 or 20 people because it's that size.
Uh-huh.
So I'm saying that's probably safer than a guy landing on you himself.
But he does still land on you. Only you can't see it. It's a surprise jumping on your head.
I'm not buying it.
Well, you're a doctor. You would know.
Thank you.
Liar.
That's alleged.
That lying bitch with the broken neck.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying it's a one-off, crazy, horrific story. That's all I'm saying.
Thanks, Obama.
Yeah, right? Actor Peter Mayhew celebrates his 71st birthday today.
Nope. No, I insist we hear Dave, the King of Mexico, with his impression. Dave, are you listening by any chance? There it is.
Yeah.
There it is.
As if he's in the room with us. Who guitarist Pete Townsend is 70 years old today? He plays for the Who? UFC fighter Georges St-Pierre is 34 years old, and singer Sam Smith celebrates his 23rd birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
So Bean hates Chip. Let's just start with that.
Before
Chip,
you do that. Do you have any plans this weekend, Chip?
Hold on. Before you guys do that, Ann Wallace just won tickets for U2 at the Roxy for next week. Listen to this, you guys.
All right.
Ann is in line to get into the U2 show in San Jose tonight, streaming krock.com, and knows that we give them away at the top of every hour, and she and her friends are listening there and calling up, and she just called in and won from San Jose.
She was listening on her phone?
Yes.
Wow.
And called from San Jose.
Yes, that is correct. That is our winner.
Is she going to Seattle this weekend?
Dean has invited her up to Seattle this weekend.
That's what I've heard.
To celebrate.
That is Ann Wallace. Congratulations. We will see you at the Roxy next week. We got tickets for you every hour on the hour, all day long, up until 9 o'clock.
I thought we were cool, Bean. By the way.
All right.
Apparently not.
So Bean hates Chip.
Bean doesn't hate Chip at all. Chip is maybe my favorite person that works at K-Rock. I don't hate Chip at all.
Until this week.
Chip, that's the only possible conclusion you can come to.
All right, here's what happened, is that at some point, some time back, I invited Chip to come up and visit. She's never been to Seattle, and I thought she might have a good time coming up and spending a weekend. I could show her the sights. You know, we got some cool stuff here to see and just get to hang out, and my wife loves her too.
Right,
so
at that point, you loved her. Right.
Yeah, and then I'm going this weekend. I'm flying up for Memorial Day, and
it's going to
be awesome.
Tickets, right?
Yeah, I bought
my
tickets.
You got your plane tickets.
Yeah,
you're
made
good
plans.
To go. You made your plans. You took some time off from your other job.
Yep.
And you're good to go this
cleared
weekend.
Cleared my weekend because I'm going to Seattle.
Sounds like a great time for you. I wouldn't do it, but if that's what you want to do, it sounds like you're doing exactly what you want to do.
And then where did love die?
Love didn't die. What happened is love rescheduled because my schedule got busier than I anticipated it would.
What do you have going on this weekend? Well, I'm sorry, what interrupted? What's the plan?
Have anything this weekend per se, but I mean, just in general,
okay,
this is a busy, busy time for me.
I just had the
weenie roast was just this past
weekend.
I got preempted for nothing.
Oh, you didn't know this, Chip? There's nothing going on this weekend.
There's nothing going on this
you
weekend.
You don't know.
Son of a bitch.
We never told you, did we?
Nope.
Yeah, he's...
It's not like something came up that he's got to do.
There's got to be.
He told us at Weenie Roast that, and I quote, the great Bean, I'm tired.
Well, that's what it is, Kevin. Thank you.
You're pre-tired.
No, I'm tired. I'm just flat-out tired. I'm pre-tired, post-tired, present-tired. So what happened is because on the schedule 2 months ago, hey, Memorial Day weekend, that sounds like a great time. But then I guess I didn't realize that the Weenie Roast was this past weekend. And, of course, nobody at that time knew that the U2 thing was coming up so soon after. And I just feel like I need to reserve some energy. Kind of save myself a little bit.
No, you're going good. Oh. Keep going.
What is it that you would have done this weekend?
We have to move Grandpa from the home, and it's really going to take its toll on him, Chip. You have to understand. He's got to sit on that plane for almost an hour and then get off a plane and walk to a car and drive. It's just exhausting. It's like a marathon, really. Yeah, when you sit in those seats of those planes.
It's so tough when, like, sleep doesn't exist.
No.
Bean hates Chip is what it's about.
No,
Bean hates
Chip. Bean really, really hates Chip. Yeah. Bean hates Chip. Bean hates Chip. Bean really, really hates Chip. Bean
hates Chip.
Okay, that's fine, but it's not true. I don't hate Chip at all. I'm just
Dane hates Chip.
No, you didn't. You're not here, obviously, because you waited until days before she was leaving to tell her that she was no longer welcome.
She took time off work.
Two jobs.
Mm-hmm. It was because
Dane hates Chip.
Look. Who hasn't, and I know there's nobody who hasn't done this, where you've agreed to go to a party or a dinner or something like that, and then that day rolls around and you go, oh, man, I wish I hadn't said yes to that because I am just whooped. What I really need is a night in.
And then you go and it's fine.
But you usually don't. Usually you cancel.
You know
usually
what?
I don't do it
when I'm hosting the party. When I'm hosting the party and I've invited people to my party, I don't call them up and say, I'm canceling the party because I'm tired.
And canceling a party doesn't cost you $200 to cancel. Yeah.
Chip, you mean... $800 to cancel.
I mean, $1,700.
$1,700.
You wouldn't believe airfare to Seattle these days.
Now, I hate Chip.
No,
my G6 is expensive.
But I did say to Chip when I broke the news to her at Wienerus.
Days before she was supposed to leave.
I did say, obviously, I don't want you to be out any money for this, and I'll be happy to pay for a new ticket or pay for
but
a change fee or whatever.
What's the reason that you're canceling again?
What came up? What's the emergency?
Well, nothing. I mean, nothing exactly. It's just I need a weekend.
Okay,
I need a weekend.
So this
do
weekend,
what?
If Chip comes up there this weekend, what is she going to run you ragged? Like force you out of the house?
Is she going to make you give her piggyback rides?
If you want rest, she'll rest. She's cool.
No
she'll
one's
rest.
More chill than Chip.
Look, again, guys, I'm trying to throw this back on you. If you had visitors coming in from out of town, you wouldn't just be sitting around watching TV with them. You would be taking them to Disneyland, and you'd be taking them by the Hollywood sign. You'd be going out and doing all the sights. Well, same thing here. It involves 2 or 3 days of going downtown and doing all sorts of stuff, which I'm happy to do and excited to do with Chip at another time.
Sure.
When I'm better rested and prepared
How
for
How do you
it?
Know
better
when you're rested? What have you done that's so exhausting?
How do you know how
Why
you'll
are you
feel
so
Friday?
Tired? Tired. Check your blood.
Dane's pre-tired. Dane's really, really pre-tired. Dane's pre-tired. Dane's pre-tired. Dane's really, really
Look.
Pre-tired. What a douche.
You know,
how dare you?
You talk for a living. You sit in your house, your own home, and you turn on a microphone and just talk. How tired can you be?
I don't know about you guys, but it's not like I wake up and do the show and then the rest of the day is free. There's an awful
That's
lot
not
of
the point.
Time and effort and preparation and planning. And
But none
and,
of it, to the best of my knowledge, involves breaking cement.
No, but it does wear you out. It is exhausting. It's mentally an exhausting job
is
that we
Chip's
have.
Is Chip's visit to your house going to be mentally exhausting? Because I would say no.
And if you're mentally exhausted by this job, you're brain dead. Damaged.
Well, that's possible, too.
Dane's pre-tired.
I mean, busy week last week, traveling this
right.
weekend. Weenie Roast was a long day. This week, we're busy, as you guys can see, a lot of show. This weekend, I'm just going to chill.
The show's like twice as long this week. We are going to noon every day.
And my $5,000 ticket is going to be just fine.
Chip, here's my whole thing.
You've been rejected. I've had people come to my house, and they had made plans and spent money on tickets.
Right.
And made arrangements.
No
and
matter what
stuff,
you felt like.
If I was bleeding out, if I had a sucking chest wound from a gunshot, there's no way I'm canceling on those people. That's beyond rude.
Bean hates Chip.
If I'm being rejected by Bean, I've hit rock bottom, haven't I?
Yeah, you really have. Because you look at the sad parade of people that he's had in his home over the years.
Let's name some of the people. Bean.
I don't think we need to go there because it's not a competition. It's not a competition.
They're all welcome.
Yep.
My point is that Chip and I are going to have a great time. We're rescheduling, I think, for around the 4th of July.
Sure, yeah.
Or I'm going to come this weekend.
Yeah. I told her I'll pay for it if you just show up. That
would be
awesome.
I'm going to show her a great time, and I'm looking forward to it. But I will
hate Chip. Bean really, really hates Chip. Bean hates Chip.
I will be better rested between now and July. I'll have time to reserve some energy.
How do you know what you'll feel like on Friday? You told us this Saturday, this
past
Saturday.
You were planning on being tired Friday.
No, I was already tired and knew that it would be a long, long week without enough rest. So that's why.
Take a freaking nap, you pussy.
This weekend, I'm going to get caught up, man. I'm going to be good as new Monday morning.
Bean hates Chip. Bean really, really hates Chip. Bean hates Chip.
You understand that she took time off two jobs.
I do. I feel terrible about that.
Well, we can tell you're all broken up. Because you have nothing to do, and you're telling her not to come.
But we'll reschedule, Chip. It'll be fine.
Yeah, but then what are you going to do when the time rolls around?
What
you're
going
to... I'm so tired.
What minor inconvenience will cancel her trip in July?
Bean's pre-tired.
It is true. I will have had to have survived June by that point, I guess.
I'm out of dog food. Sorry, Chip. You can come. I have to make a run down to the Petco.
Bean's pre-tired. Bean's really, really pre-tired. Bean's
all right.
Pre-tired.
Listen, we're out of time. Are we cool,
Bean's
Chip?
Bean's pre-tired. Bean's really, really pre-tired. What a douche.
The $15,000 change fee is going to be, once paid off, will be
that is going
to
hurt.
Yeah, that would need to be in cash.
You're a dick. Such a dick.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 9:38.
So tired, you guys. I don't know if I can finish this show. Barely getting across
exhausted.
The finish line here.
You know, I'm telling you, I'm shocked at the amount of support Bean is getting on Twitter and via my emails. A lot of people see Bean's point and think he's making a rational choice.
What? Go ahead. Drop the hammer.
Oh,
what do you mean?
Wait a minute. I forgot. It's the exact opposite. Everyone hates him.
Suck it up and take some goddamn vitamins. Was that your favorite?
That was one of them, from the lovely
There's
Marin
a lot
Dungeon.
Of them. Yeah.
Guys... Yeah, we'd have time to get back
My
into
favorite
this.
Was, how is the healthiest man alive so pre-tired all the time?
Always tired, yeah.
I like work really hard, you guys, and I spend a lot of time doing it.
You know we do the same job you do, right?
Exhausting.
You know you can't fool us with this line
I'm
of BS.
I'm not fooling you. I'm just telling you that I'm tired. That's all I'm telling
right,
you.
Right, but we're saying Chip
I
coming
need a
to
weekend.
Your house, A, was already planned, and B, she's not going to wear you out.
We're
going to
do it again another time,
You're
and it's
going to
be great. Just not this weekend, that's all. That's all I'm saying is just not this weekend.
Yeah, that's Look, what you said last time, and then you
plans
canceled.
Change. Plans change, you guys. It's not that big a deal.
Bean's pretty tired.
All right, Ralph is here now. Time for our final look at the showbiz beat here on a Tuesday.
And I do want to make a correction, too, about the Steve Aoki story.
Yes.
Who, when he said it was crowd surfing and he jumped on a raft and broke a fan's neck.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, he climbed up to the top of the stage, the scaffolding where the lighting grid was above the stage.
Yes.
And leapt from about, looks to be from the video, about 30 feet off of that grid down into the audience on top of a raft onto a girl's head and breaking her neck.
How did he not break his own neck with a jump like that?
Well, at least you're concerned for her well-being.
No, I'm just saying
that. Once again, your empathy knows no bounds.
What about him? I'm just saying that seems foolhardy.
What about the guy who didn't get hurt? Let's talk about some concern for him. Where's the concern for the rich guy who came out of it perfectly unscathed? Where's his sympathy? Bean is asking. You're right. My bad. I have to send Steve Aoki a card.
I wasn't expressing sympathy for him. I was expressing amazement that somebody would do something so stupid. Like, why would you jump from that distance? You're asking to get hurt.
Or hurt someone else.
Or hurt someone else is another possibility.
Not a possibility. It happened. That's what
somebody
happened.
Could have gotten hurt on the receiving end of that jump.
Someone did get hurt.
That's alleged.
Well, it's alleged that she got hurt.
Right.
She could be faking, man. You don't know. A lot of people fake injuries.
She faked that CAT scan where they panicked and ran into the room and slapped a neck brace on her.
She's a bitch.
Because she had been walking around with an undiagnosed neck fracture.
Ouch. That's alleged.
No, that's what happened. Oh, right? Who's
right.
With me?
Exactly.
Okay.
I'm with you.
Right. Yeah. Dancing with the Stars, the final performances last night. Are you excited?
Stop. Talking.
Come on. We don't know who's going to win.
Wait, did you say the last performance was last night?
Final performances were last night, yes.
So
the Mirror Ball Trophy, Kevin, the coveted Mirror Ball Trophy, will be awarded tonight after the viewer scores are added in.
Oh, that's exciting.
It is exciting. Only Noah Galloway and his partner scored a little less than a perfect 10. The other two couples got perfect 10s on their dances.
I don't know how he is as a dancer. I loved him in Oasis.
Jeez. That's Noel.
And Gallagher.
Sorry.
Noah Galloway.
Same thing at all.
Yeah. Different name.
Congratulations to my friend Seth MacFarlane. He's going to be getting an award from the Critics' Choice Television Awards this year. The Genius Award.
Wow.
That's kind of highfalutin, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's ballsy to call anything in entertainment the Genius Award. Shouldn't that go to like people who cure cancer and stuff?
Kanye gives that to himself. That's
he
all.
Does, yes.
That's the only thing.
It is an award for unprecedented excellence in television. Past recipients have included Ron Howard, Ryan Murphy, and Judd Apatow. Receive it this year.
Now, Ralph,
I'm very
happy
for him.
No one loves Seth MacFarlane more than you do.
That's true.
Would you consider him a genius?
I would.
All right. So it sounds like this is a justified
by your question. Your question, I'm assuming that you wouldn't.
No. I think genius? I would consider him a genius as well. I was just wondering if, because you were saying, you wouldn't give this to too many people. You wouldn't call too many people in entertainment a genius.
Yeah, I think it's, I feel comfortable saying it because I've worked with the guy and I've witnessed it firsthand, so I can make that judgment. I think for me, but if you're slapping that name on an award that you get to carry around that says that's the genius award,
yeah.
I don't know. I think you're running a risk of some people saying, shut up, sit down. I don't know. It just seems it's risky to name something like that. But it's the critics doing it. It's not Seth. He's not calling himself that.
Look, he created Stewie. He can be called whatever he wants to be called.
Look, I've seen the guy write. I've seen him direct. And then when you're in the room with him, and when I would go in and record Family Guy with him, he would read with you, and he would become all those people in rapid succession right in front of your eyes seamlessly. It was an uncanny experience that I've never had anyplace else. Watching him go from character to character, because he does. He plays Stewie, and he plays Brian, and he plays Peter. And just to watch him leap into those personalities effortlessly was a little, almost unsettling how talented he was.
And that's saying something coming from you, who does a similar thing on this show sometimes.
Yeah, but it's the difference between throwing a bullet and shooting one, as Larry Miller would say. So he never ceases to impress me, Seth. And I'm glad he's getting the award. It's very cool. Melissa McCarthy, if you're a fan of hers, she's getting a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame this morning. 11:30 a.m. Yes, absolutely, is the time. It'll be in front of the TCL Chinese Theater. Ellen DeGeneres will be there, along with director Paul Feig, and Melissa's husband and business partner, Ben Falcone, a very funny man in his own right. Now, coincidentally, she does have a new movie called Spy coming out in June.
Are you kidding me?
June 5th.
What are the chances of that timing?
But I'm sure the timing is coincidental. And she just finished shooting a movie called Michelle Darnell, which she co-wrote with her husband, Ben. And she begins shooting the female Ghostbusters next month, I think, with Paul Feig, the female version of Ghostbusters. So quite a career she's having, and she seems like a terrific lady, so I'm very happy for her.
What a huge star she is.
Oh, really?
I'm saying after Wedding Crashers and then The Heat, I mean, she's...
That was not a weight joke.
No, not at all. It didn't even occur to me. I'm just saying she's just blown up as big as anybody.
Okay. And she's...
See? You could just go right to hell.
I swear to you guys, I wasn't saying that at all.
Okay.
Come on. I wasn't saying
that. Yes, you were.
I wasn't.
Just admit it.
She's just a massive talent, that's all.
I didn't mean I wasn't in any way making a fat joke. I promise
that's
you guys.
Bullshit.
It's not.
That kid is
in
called...
In the universe of comedy, she's one of the biggest planets. Get it? She's fat.
No, that's not what I was saying at all.
That's what you were saying.
Horrible
saying
human
she's
being.
Talented. Terrible person.
Today's celebrity birthday is actor Peter Mayhew. You know him as Chewbacca. He's 71 years old today. We're home, Chewie. Very touching moment in that trailer.
Allie's crying right now.
Yes, she is. Guitarist.
Chewie is sad, too.
That was the 500 there.
That was actually Chewie.
Pete Townsend, legendary guitarist for the band The Who. He is 71 today. UFC fighter Georges St-Pierre celebrates his 34th birthday. And singer Sam Smith, who ain't really singing these days because he's got some throat issues, but he's healing up and apparently he'll be back good as new soon. He is 23 years old today. How terrifying must be to be a singer?
Yeah.
At the beginning of your career at the age of 23 and have your vocal cords rupture and hemorrhage and need surgery.
His voice is so unique.
Yeah. You got to be concerned you ever get that back, right?
This is why you failed.
That's his voice there. It sounds very unique. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on all new Kevin and Bean Show, another Bachelor Report, as tonight is night number 2.
Woo! We find out.
Who
will it be, Britt or Caitlin?
That's the kind of show we watch, not the Dancing with the Stars.
That's right. We fought true love. We're here for the right reasons.
Plus, Brad will be in studio.